saints of old whom I have appointed a calling, whom I have directed by my Spirit to carry my work among thy people. Yea, I would say unto thee this morning, attend to that which thou hast left undone. Attend to this calling which I have called thee for. For I see, young man, that thou art sitting there, and I have spoken to thee 5 years ago, but today thou art lax. Thou art looking to material and natural things. Why hast thou forsaken the Lord that has called thee? Yea, I say unto thee, young minister, why hast thou established thyself upon thy knees in such a comfortable way? Why hast thou detained my spirit from blessing thee and giving thee the word to carry forward? I say unto thee, arise today, for my servant and prophet is coming to bring my word, and thou shalt be unable to carry and receive it. I say to thee, shake thyself and renew thyself in my spirit today, for I, the Lord thy God, have not I told you that I am a jealous God? Why hast thou forsaken thy commission? Why hast thou cast down thy testimony? Anymore thy voice is not heard in the temple. Thou art not speaking for me. Thou hast laid aside these things and hast settled down to family life. I say unto thee, young man, who hast been bewildered, I say, listen to my voice today, for I have come, and I will speak to thee through my prophet today. And thou shalt know that thou art one of mine. Yea, my people, I say, alert thy mind toward thy God, for the days are evil in which thou dost live. Come, and I will anoint thee and make thee a fruitful vine. Yea, have not I spoken it, and I will also perform it. Thus saith the Lord.
Good morning, Bible class. How's everybody feeling this morning? Fine? I hope. Amen. This is kind of a short notice that we had of saying that we'd be here this morning because of I didn't have my itinerary made up yet, just when I would be leaving. And this being now that it's made up for the next 6 months, well then, I thought we better have the service this morning because it'll be some time before I ever get back again, as far as I know. Maybe this fall. And we'll be leaving now this coming week for over at Beaumont, Texas, where we begin down there next week and go through about 8 or 10 days meeting there with the Association of the Independents and different churches. It's really sponsored by the Jesus Name churches down in Beaumont, Texas, where we had the great meeting some time ago, just right after this picture was taken. And they run a coach over there. There'll be 27 coach or a train with 27 coaches on it coming over to the meeting in Beaumont. There's where the mayor of the town had a parade and went through the streets, and all of them had a great time at Beaumont. And we're returning back this next week. And then was anticipating San Antonio, but won't have enough time for it. That's on the return, and we go from there to Phoenix, Los Angeles, down to Long Beach, and we come back, Lord willing, go back to the East Coast, back up into Virginia and South Carolina, come back then to Bloomington, Illinois, and from there to the Lane Tech High School last week in April, Christian businessman, and then I leave from there to go to northern British Columbia up towards Alaska and be in there until June. And then we're hoping to have a great time. Praying then if the investigation that I've been under for a while by income tax concerning the church here will be over by that time, and then I'll be able to go overseas then if it is right in June, which will make it just right for Africa, for June, July, and August. And African. So I certainly need your prayers. And we're looking for the coming of the Lord, all these things are if it be the will of the Lord.
Amen.
We do not know He could. These are not exactly leadings. We just got all the invitations together and prayed over it and asked the Lord which way should we go, and seemed like then I don't leave it all up to my own self. I'll let others think about it, pray over it. And then seemed like it, we all seemed to feel led to go westward, south and west at this time. So then we had invitations all around, so we just started right down, and first place fell on my heart was either Beaumont or San Antone. So we looked up and we had invitations in both places. And the we called one in Beaumont, and Vince, they had 42 churches in cooperation of the United Pentecostals and so forth. We thought with a big auditorium it'd be better to give them about 10 days instead of giving five and five at each place. I think if you centralize it like that, it's better. And there's a lot of needy people around in Beaumont and down through that far part of Texas there. And so we're expecting a great time in Beaumont. And now we never try to go where these big centers and big places, but we try to go as the Lord will lead us to go, no matter how little or how big, just so the Lord is leading. Now, at any time He could give us a Macedonian call and we'd leave the field at any time for whatever He'd call us to do, anywhere. And we sure have enjoyed this time of fellowship around the Word of God with you fine people. I trust that you'll be faithful now and come to church and obey the teachings of the Bible through our gallant brother here, Brother Neville, which I highly recommend as a servant of the Lord God. And moving on deeper and deeper with God. And I'm so happy for that. In the little church, I admonish you in the name of the Lord Jesus to grow in the grace of God. Hold yourself steady and look towards Calvary all the time.
Amen.
Taking all the roots of bitterness out of your heart and soul that God might use you at any time. If you ever feel to do something or a revelation or something comes to you strangely, something warningly or something, be careful. Satan is a sly and slick as he can be. See? Put it with the Word of God and consult your pastor. See? And if you find gifts and so forth creeping up in the church and the operation of these gifts, before you let it go to operating and think, first, feel it pressing on your heart. Now, the enemy is real slick, see? And that's just what tears the churches to pieces every time, is a true gift operated wrong, see? Something God's trying to do and operated wrong, it'll just simply not only hurt you, but it'll tear the whole church up, see? Consult it, take it through and through the Bible, then test it and see if it's God or not. Just keep testing and trying, see if it's perfect right down the line and right with the Word. Then you're all right. See, as long as the Word has said it would be here, would operate this certain way, stay right with it. Don't never get off, no matter what anybody does, how real it seems to be. If it doesn't reflect in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, leave it alone.
Amen.
Don't take no chances. We're in the last days when Satan is just as deceiving as he can be. Forgive me if I try to take a place of a boss. I'm no boss. But I feel to you like Paul said back there about his congregation once, you're the stars in my crown. Amen. When I cross over the land over on the other side down and meet you in that glorified condition, I want you to stand there to shine like a star.
Amen.
And I want you to be there. I want to be there. Now, I remember in my vision when I seen the presence of the Lord or His people in that glorious land yonder. I looked around and I told them, and they told me He would judge me first by the gospel that I preach. I said, just exactly the way Paul preached it. And then millions of people screamed out, we're resting on that. See? Now, I want it to be so. And we are going to meet there someday. And God never sent Brother Neville and I to be bosses, not at all. We're just your brothers, you see, instructors in the gospel. So let's all work together. And sometimes if something operating has to be called or said something about it, call down or something on that order. And the person that's got that gift, reject it. Just remember, refuses it, remember the gift wasn't right. It wasn't God in the first place. The Spirit of God always is ready for correction. Sweet, humble.
Amen.
If it stands up and says, I'll do it anyhow, you know how sometimes. Just remember, arrogant spirits are not of God. See?
Amen.
So why take a substitute when everything, the whole earth is filled with the glory of God? You see, real power of God. Why would we take a substitute?
Amen.
We're too late in the day now, but remember, the Bible said he'd come in like a just as sly as he could be and deceive the very elected, if possible. See? And now sometimes we think we are the elected, and I hope we are, but let's just stay right straight with the Bible. And then if everything is right with the Scripture and ordering the Scripture, bringing glory to God and the honor of the church, and so forth, then we know that it is of God, because the Bible backs it up. But just our theory won't back it up. It won't do no good. It falls through. So then if something has struck us, no matter how real it seems, if it's not right, not scriptural, get rid of it right now.
Amen.
There's a real one waiting, you see. So pray now and always, and whatever you do, pray for me. Pray for me, because we're now striking the field for the last time, in my opinion. We're now going, and remember, great things are taking place. It's unknown amongst the world. Jesus come, lived, died, and sacrificed, went back to glory, and millions never even know nothing about it. See?
Yeah.
It's not flowery, great big. It's he came to his own. See? As the he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, not to the outside, to the church.
Amen.
It's the church that gets it shaking. I used to think different from that till one day he spoke to me. Had me to go back in the Word and think of how that the prophets all spoke of when John came, said the high places would be made low and the low places made high, and how the power of God would work in all the mountains would skip like little rams, and the leaves would clap their hands. Well, that looked like it's something really was going to take place. See? And when it did, what happened? An old fella come out of the wilderness, probably beard grown all out, and an old piece of sheepskin wrapped around him. There was no conveniences out there in the wilderness. He'd been there since he's 9 years old, and he's 30 then. Come walking out of the wilderness, stomping out, preaching repentance, standing in mud to his knees, probably on the banks of the Jordan. That's when the high places was made low, and the low places was made high. See, it's you have to have spiritual understanding. Remember, God never did and never will on this earth dwell in glamour. He's against it. He'll never, the great messages will never be make great big so-and-so-and-so. Don't do that way. His servants don't work in that manner. His glamour and glory is of above.
Amen.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, going out to Kentucky, up in Kentucky with my good friend, Brother Banks Woods, there was a woman policeman standing out there, and he said, boy, we better slow down. He said, she's rough. And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, when a nation gets to a place where millions are employed and they have to take women, make policemen, and send them out there and cab drivers and things like that, it's one of the great stains on our nation. She's got just about as much business out there as a rabbit's got in a kettle of grease. See, it's just not her place. And I said, that used to bother me so bad, but now I begin to remember, why, no wonder, this is not our kingdom. We're not of this world. Why don't women... Our women wear their hair short and makeups and rock and rolls and all this stuff. Well, people go to ordinary churches and they think, that's all right. Why? They are Americans. They are Americans, got American spirit. We're not Americans. We're Christians. We live, our spirit is of another kingdom. If our spirit was of this kingdom, then we would worship with these things. Then we'd worship all these vulgar songs and worship all this rock and roll. Wherever your heart is, there your treasures is. And our treasures is above.
Amen.
So therefore, we're going to a kingdom. This is not our home. We're just sojourning here, trying to bring other citizens out of the darkness. and go into a city, maybe hold a citywide campaign. Just plow away for a week or 10 days for one precious soul out there. One. Just one sitting out there. You might say, the meeting was a great success. 5,000 came to the altar. It might not be one of them saved. Not a one of them. See? And there might be, you might think, only two people came to the altar, but one of them might be a jewel. We just seen in the creek. God picked out the fish. He knows which is fish and which is not.
Amen.
So, see, we're just preaching. And remember, you're doing the same thing in this tabernacle. But remember always this, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of God is His Word. I was thinking the other day how these people said that there never was a certain denomination of churches saying divine healing wasn't right. Never was nobody given a gift of divine healing but St. Paul or the apostles, the 12 in the upper room, that's given the gift of divine healing. And that was all. That settled it. But you see through this wonderful chart that Brother Willie over here so marvelously fixed up for us, that little thread has been through the churches all the way. I wonder what that same denomination says about the history of the church, about Irenaeus, about St. Martin, and all those martyrs down through the age for hundreds of years at the death of the apostles, spoke in tongues and healed the sick and raised the dead and performed miracles, the whole church.
Amen.
Wonder what about them? It was only to the apostles. See how narrow it is? They don't have spiritual understanding. That's all. See? Blind, dead, and sin and trespasses. Sin means unbelief. Anything in unbelief is sin. If a fellow got a title that long of DDLLPHDLLD, and says there's no such a thing as divine healing or baptism of the Holy Ghost, the man's dead in sin. He might be able to explain all kinds of mysteries in the Bible, but his very life, his testimony proves that he's dead. He's dead in sin and trespasses because he's a sinner. Sin is unbelief. Anybody else? Sin isn't committing adultery and smoking cigarettes and dancing and carrying on like that. That isn't sin. That's the attributes of unbelief. But a believer, no matter if a man don't drink, don't smoke, don't do these things, ever said a bad word, keeps all the Ten Commandments, he can still be a black sinner. See? Just as rank as he can be. If he denies anything of the power of God, he's a sinner. The word sin is unbelief. Now you find, see if that's right or not. An unbeliever in the Word of God, he is a sinner. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I thought then this morning, taking it upon myself by the will of the Lord, by the commandment of the Holy Spirit, to come down to the tabernacle again and maybe keep you all 2 or 3 hours, but I want to finish the book of the 4th chapter of Revelations before I go.
Amen.
And now I hope it's not wearisome to you. I hope it's glory to you. I hope it's something that'll do you good and help you in the days ahead to come. And now, maybe I told Billy to come down here this morning and to give out prayer cards if there was any strangers in our midst. Because we'll be leaving, and now I don't know when we'll be back. God only knows that. And I thought maybe the last meeting, when he called me up then about 9 o'clock and said, Dad, there's some people there to be prayed for. I've asked them, but said, it's people that people that comes to church all the time. I said, then don't give out any prayer cards. See? I said, because that's people, if we have prayer for the sick this morning, we'll call the people up and pray for them. And I said, if it's people that come to tabernacle that we know, I want some stranger. And he said, then he came out there a few minutes ago when he met me, standing out there, said, well, I gave out some prayer cards. Said, just a few in there. I gave prayer cards out. Said, you can do whatever you want to. I said, well, we'll see how the message gets along, see where we're at, and then we'll go. He said, well, many of the people that wanted prayer cards, of course, they said they were people that's there in the church, see. Well, we know that God is God, and my, just the things that He does. Why? The phone rings all the time of people of different things, just little bitty things sometimes, and how God answers prayer.
Amen.
I wonder if that little lady or her husband's here from down in New Albany that brought that little choked out baby the other night with pneumonia in my house about 12, 1 o'clock. Fine. How is the baby? Fine. Good. All right. Just let me show you. See, it's something that you wouldn't know. It don't go on when the Holy Spirit speaks. Fred Stoffman. Well, precious brother Fred. I heard him say amen a while ago, but I couldn't place him out. Where is he at? Is he here? Here, right here. Brother Fred Stoffman, does it show how simple it is? He had some friends coming, which is Brother Welch Evans, I presume. I don't know. They had a trailer there that locked the doors, and Fred lost the keys and been looking everywhere and couldn't find them anywhere. And Brother Welch is coming right on up. So the day come that he was to arrive and things, he couldn't find the key anywhere, so he just called up home. So Brother Branham, where is the keys at? Where would we find them? Now, that might stump some of you for a man to ask a question like that, but wait just a minute. Remember the sons of Jesse looking for the mules?
Yeah.
So if I had a gift in my hand, I'd take it down and give it to the prophet, and maybe he'd tell us where those mules were. Remember that? And while he's walking on the street, they met the prophet. He said, "You're looking for them mules." Said, "There, you go on back home." They've already returned. Is that right? I prayed. Fred walked over and picked up the keys.
Amen.
That's it. Brother Ed Dalton, where you at? Where's Ed Dalton? I know he's here somewhere. I seen him a while ago. Oh, back in. There he is. He heard me through the income or the public address system. The other night, a call came in, and Brother Ed was in serious trouble. I wanted to help him. Nope. Said, "I just want you to ask God." I asked the Lord to help him, and next day his wife called up. Somebody come to the rescue. All right. Is that right, Brother Ed? See? He's just God, that's all. He's just God. See? It's just all the time, constantly, from one place to another. One place to another. No matter what trouble it is, he's God. We don't go around brag about those things. We're not supposed to. Just don't let the right hand or left hand know what the right hand's doing. We talk it among ourselves, but we don't blast that out somewhere, because that's self-pride. Like God only could do it for one person, he'd do it for anybody. It'll believe him. It's belief, faith, whatever you want to do, whatever your thoughts are, take it to God. He provides everything. Isn't that right? So he answers prayer. God is a prayer-answering Father.
Amen.
Now, so therefore, in I thought closing in this last meetings and so forth, as we were doing, we would have maybe some of the discernment at the last of the meeting, if the Lord's willing, and maybe during the time of the meeting. We just don't know what he's going to do. I like it that way. Don't set no certain things. Just let him do as he wants to do. Now, get the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation and stop the clock.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, brother. Certainly I believe that. Absolutely believe that. Here, Brother Welch Evans, I think that's him sitting right back there. While we're turning to Revelation 4, you're not long ago, you all heard and read in the papers about this band in Louisville that steals these cars, takes them down to Kentucky somewhere real quick. And in Kentucky, you don't even have to have a title. They'll make you one in Kentucky. So you just, the only thing you have to do is take it away and sell it. So they'll take these cars and run them in and repaint them again and bring those cars out and sell them. All you have to have is your number, your block, and they'll make you a title. So they just take a car off the street and get it off real quick and run into some shop somewhere, just change the whole thing over altogether, see? And repaint it and everything, take it out and sell it. There's a racket of it, and especially all over the United States, and a great, great of it is Kentucky. I read an article in the paper here not long ago about it. Well, big, good-hearted, precious Brother Evans and his family, driving all the way from Macon, Georgia up here every Sunday to hear the gospel. Oh, how loyal and what real friends. Then he goes over to Miller's cafeteria where I'm not plugging for Miller's, but
I certainly think that they got the best food in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, anyhow. As far as, I ain't mean you private homes that I've eaten over there. No. I mean for, you know, outside. And I eat over there, too. I can feed my family there cheaper than I can feed them at home. Right. So then I go in over there, and so Brother Evans, he goes in, and he gets him something to eat and parks his car out there. When he comes out with all his clothes and family and all of them, he didn't have no car or nothing. It was all gone. Well, poor fella, Brother Evans is a man like all of us. He has a little business down there. He works on cars, buys wrecks and fixes them up. He's a poor man, spends his money coming up here because he believes in this type of gospel. I'm praying that God will send him a messenger down there somewhere to help him down in that country. Now, Brother Evans come up, so he didn't know what to do. He notified police. They couldn't find it. So he come over home. He and Brother Fred and them, we sat in the room and talked about it. I said, now, that's the way we do. We sit in the room, find out what takes place, and then we go to God. So when we asked the Lord to turn the man that had the car, turn him around and send him back, wherever he was. Usually they run him down around Bowling Green or somewhere, get him out of the hot spot here, you see, so they could get him repainted and fixed up. This is a nice car, I think station wagon. Was that right, Brother Evans? It's a station wagon. So, and so what happened? We got down and prayed, and Lord, give us witness. It's all right. Everything's fine. So then, the power of the Lord came in with us. Brother Evans goes out and starts out, led to go down a certain way and come back. Right here in Jeffersonville, the car stole a little. Here said his car sitting there with just about enough gasoline to take it all out of it to tuck it down to about pretty near Bowling Green and come back. They got out of the car, stopped the car, left the key in it, just walked away and left it sitting there. Right here in Jeffersonville where he could find it. Not Louisville. Over here in Jeff, brought it all the way back. You know, Lord can make birds obey, and he makes man obey, and he can make his enemy obey. And he's God. Here said his car, not one thing gone, just about half a tank of gasoline, where it almost got to Bowling Green. The Holy Spirit must have said, turn around, get on back there, and take that car to Jeffersonville. Set it right here on the street and park it right here, because I'm going to send him right around this way and up this way to find it. Is that right, Brother Welch?
Right?
He's God. He answers prayer, Brother Roy. He just... Brother Slaughter, that's just the same thing. He heals your little doggy. And I know that he heals. He answers prayer. He still performs miracles. He's still God. He always was God. He always will be God.
Amen.
He's God on the housetop. What is that, Brother Saint? Church, God in the kitchen. God on the farm. God in the automobile. He's God everywhere. He's God all through and through God.
Amen.
Oh, how wonderful. We get to preach next song. Ever get to this lesson? All right. Let's bow our heads just a moment for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so fond of Your holy word till our hearts just burn within us when we know that Your Spirit comes down in the midst of us and there speaks to us and our hearts reach out and take a hold of it. And we just seem to feel so good over it, Lord, and to know that in this dark hour where there's so much confusion, like the prophet said, in the last days there would come a famine, something to this order, not for bread and for water, but for the hearing of the true word of God. And man would travel from east to the west, north and south, seeking to find the true Word of God. Word, what is the Word? Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us to see the manifestation of the real Word of God made manifest according to the Scriptures and brought to pass that how people would travel and seek and would fail to find it. Oh, God, we are so glad that we found Him years ago, precious to our heart, and to see that we're not one bit confused. Oh, God, You said, they that know their God shall do exploits in that day. And here we are in the last days,
seeing all the things that Jesus said would come to pass, being made manifest right among us, various signs, wonders, miracles performed, doing it just the way he did it, as he said as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And Lord, you let us, by the Holy Spirit, reach out in that Word and get those real things and tie them into Calvary by the Word and see that in Him we have the fullness and the riches and the blessings and the glory, and it all goes to Him who is worthy to come tuck the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne and set out on it Himself. For He was slain since the foundation of the world. We speak of Him this morning, Father, and we pray that You'll bless our hearts. Let His Spirit move among us and bless us and enrich in our experience and heal the sickness in our midst and give us overcoming grace. God, as I go out down in the field to face the foe, may I realize that I'm garrisoned every hour by prayer. Oh, how I depend on that garrison, the enemy approaching. But no, that the garrison holds because mothers and fathers and boys and girls, Christians born again with experience, heaven-bound people, is on their knees praying, oh God, give deliverance. Father, we pray that You'll let us get out into the enemy's lines like You are and conquer every precious soul that's waiting. Do, Lord, bring them out of darkness into light, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelations, we ended up the third chapter, and let us kind of be reverently, and I'll try not to keep you too long, but in this third chapter, the church went up as a type. When John was taken up, the church went up, and from that time on, it's dealing with Israel until the coming again. Don't you see how it is? The people today, how they're great, something's going to shake the whole world and everything. That's unscriptural. No, sir. The next thing in order is the going of the church. Read the church ages and see what now these other things is to take place is during the time of the wedding ceremony when the church is in glory. God returns back with great wonders to perform international miracles and things by the Jews. Don't go to the church at all. On the third chapter ends up the church age. Right? And the church age goes out with such a little bitty minority that we find, just listen here, I read this again this morning, it just nearly tore me to pieces. The place and the attitude of Christ at the end of the church age, found from the 21st to 22nd verse of Revelation 3. Think of it. Christ at the end, where He's at. Where is at the end of the church age? Outside His church. Pushed out by denominations and creeds. What's His attitude? Trying to get back in. That's a pitiful condition. Then we find out here, after these things, you heard a voice that's speaking to Him. That, hello, is it? The Spirit left the earth. After these things, starts out the first chapter. Of the first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Revelation 4:1. After the church was gone, then a door was open, and we went through all of that and found that that was Christ was the door, and the same voice that was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks also was the same voice you heard in heaven saying, come up hither. John went up. That represented the church going in the rapture. John went up in the Spirit. It was tucked away into heaven and foresaw all the things that God promised and said to the disciples, "What is it to you if he tarries till I come?" He saw the coming of the Lord and what would take place. He saw on earth what would take place on earth till the rapture of the church is taken up and showed come on down even to past the millennium. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, we left him last Sunday on the fourth chapter on the fourth verse. "And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now we found out that these were elders. An elder is never applied to an angel or any being. It is a redeemed human being. Elders, because it's thrones, crowns, dominion is never referred to angels. But the crowns and thrones, so forth, pertain to human beings. And these elders were crowned and clothed and sitting on thrones. And we found them over other parts of the Scripture that they were the 12 apostles. And they were the 12 patriarchs. 24 of them, which means 24, 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. We found even the city that descends from God out of heaven after the earth is exploded and all gone to pieces and nothing left on the earth but volcanic ashes. That's all will be left. There'll be no more sea. The sea will dry up. I was speaking last night to someone or yesterday and somewhere. The earth once stood up like this, right, around the sun. Equal heat all the way up and down. Up in British ice fields, you can blast down there 500 feet and find palms. It comes suddenly, frozen like refrigeration now, like you're dehydrating and so forth, and you're freezing, deep freezes, and keep strawberries and things for years and years and years to come, see? That's the same way it was in that time. Quickly, they're coming to antediluvian destruction and flooded the whole earth over. And when it did, atomic powers rocked it out of its orbits and it froze over, and there she lay. Dig down and confine them up around the Arctic zones and then palm trees and so forth. Showed that it was once inhabited beautifully, set up, and now it shook back. Now, where I think God got that water, when the Genesis starts, Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void, and water was up on the deep. The Spirit of God moved up on the water and said, "Let there be light." God separated then the land and the water, which made the earth. But the whole earth was covered over. Now what he did, he just, through the atmospheres, he just, atmosphere is, atmosphere that's filled with hydrogen and oxygen and so forth. Then he just lifted it up off the earth and separated. There was no sea on the earth then. God watered the earth, didn't he come rains? He watered it through springs and things, irrigation. Then when he, only thing he did then, when man bloated out of its orbit, out to one side, what happened? It throwed it back and it heat down here and the cold up there and hot and cold, what accumulates, filled here on them windows right now, hot in here, cold outside. See the sweat? And rain is nothing but sweat, respiration. And water is ashes. And so then when it, I like that song, "You laid your hand, precious Lord, on the prairies. Laid your wonderful hand on the range. Lord, you poured forth the fountain, raised up the mountain. Oh Lord, keep your precious hand on me. You made the clouds, formed the clouds that made the rain, from the rain made the sea. From the sea brought the clouds to give us life abundantly. You hold the earth and the skies in your command, Lord. Oh, please keep your precious hand on me." Oh, how great, yes. The God of heaven. Then in this great time, it's leaning back like this now, and he made us a promise, no more water but fire this time. Instead of throwing, they throw the earth away from the sun. Of course, it got cold. If you throw it into the sun, it'll burn. And just as he destroyed it with water and put the bore in the sky, he wouldn't do it no more. Now he give a promise he'd burn it. So there you come, we're sin and all glamour and all filth. And not long ago, I was riding down through the prairies, a little boy, and I used to think, get my history books and geographies and think of the great Western Plains. Someday, I said, I'll live there peacefully and quiet where there's no sin, and I'll roam the fields and I'll hunt like the Indian. And I'll live there a peaceful life all the days of my life. But now, this white man's been there. Where white man goes, sin is with him. He is the biggest murderer and killer of all the people on the earth is a white man. He's a renegade of all colors. Here not long ago in the paper, Brother Tom, here from Africa, I seen a piece in the paper 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, and they said, if the Americans are still permitted to go to Africa, and 10 years from now, the great African lion will be completely distinct. The elephants, the renegades, shooting us anywhere he can. Picture of two big males trying to hold a wounded male up. Look like tears running from her eyes. They didn't want the males, didn't want the female to die. And each one holding by her side like his keeper from falling down to her to the ground. Just shot to pieces. A guy to shoot anything like that don't deserve to have a gun in his hand. Right. He ain't got gumption enough to handle it. Not a couple of years ago, trying to run some herd elk into my good friend, Brother Roy Roberson, them back there, what a guiding up in Colorado. No, we had a nice herd. Jeff and I had had him up there for years and years, about 80 head of elk in a herd. They let some of these office guys out of Denver come out there with these blouse pants on, lace fake damn hunters. Here they come up there, bunch of jeeps and things like that, got back in our territory there, and I was driving these elk across the mountain behind them about a mile or two in this herding along. You have to keep them thinned out, the big old bulls and things, so don't you break your herd up, just like raising cattle or anything. Wildlife should be the same to us. It's not a target. You want to shoot targets that got range out here to shoot them on. Right? It's a disgrace to butcher up things like that. It's sinful. It's ungodly. And I counted 123 shots out of machine guns like firing from the shoulders. And the next morning, Brother Banks Woods here with me went up on a mountain. I counted 19 bloody beds. Didn't know nothing about hunting. You shoot a big animal like that, you might hit him deep enough to kill him. They just turn with bang, 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 shoot one, then the other. Why, they'll die. Why, if the fever sets in them, you could find them, they're no good. They spoil right away, and the scavengers, coyotes and things eat them up. 19 bloody beds, big bulls, hoofs that big around, and blood spurting out 2 feet where it'd been punctured like that with them guns. They oughtn't to allow a renegade like that to have a gun in his hand. Right. He ain't got the gumption to handle a gun. Oh, it's tremendous sinful to do like that. That's awful. But that's the American. Canada, you precious people from Canada, if America keeps going on, Canada will be as low down as America after a while. Get around the borders of Canada anywhere and you got that American atmosphere. This America is a prostitute of the nations. Exactly what she is. And she's going to be worse than ever now. She's coming to her end. The Bible speaks of her doom. Tells how she's going to be. America, low down, rotten, filthy, no good. That's exactly right. She's been a great nation. She's carried a gospel message. What makes her the way she is? Because she's turned down the gospel message. Rejected the truth. She's horrible. She's got it coming. Don't worry. I've seen it in the vision, and it's thus saith the Lord. It's coming. She's going to pay for her sins. That's when America was America. She's a great nation, the greatest the world's ever known since Israel was America. But she sure has polluted herself now. She's rejected the message. She's stuck nothing but just now she's got herself. You see where she's at now. Everybody knows that in the last election. Shows where her spiritual standing is. He doesn't know. Now these elders setting up on the throne with these crowns. Now the fifth verse we're going to start. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunders, voices, and there was seven lamps on fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Oh, I love this, don't you?
Amen.
Oh, I just feel like my coat fits me, you know. Just funny. Oh, I mean the spiritual coat, of course,
Amen.
You know. All right. Out of the throne. Let's speak of this throne now for a few minutes. This was not a throne of mercy. Mercy's throne is finished. No more mercy. It's without mercy. How are we going? How the judgment seat going to be the judgment seat of Christ? The judgment seat, the white throne judgment. Is there going to be mercy then? There is not one stretch of mercy to be given. At the judgment throne, you could scream mercy till you couldn't scream no more, and you just might as well scream out in the air somewhere because there's no more mercy. Now is the day of mercy. Now, let's go back into Old Testament here just a little bit and find out what mercy is. Go back and see what happened to this throne. This throne, of course, is the judgment seat. And the reason today that there is mercy is because the mercy seat is sprinkled with an atonement, blood. And as long as blood is on the judgment seat, then it is not judgment no more. It's mercy because something died to save judgment.
Amen.
If you see it, say amen.
Amen.
As long as blood is on the mercy seat, show that something died to hold judgment back. But when the church is raptured, the mercy seat becomes a judgment seat. Over in the Old and the New Testament here too. And the sanctuary, that's where the jury in the sanctuary, the judge on the seat in the sanctuary. Now, that judgment seat and the sanctuary become full of smoke. What was it? Like Mount Sinai. Judgment. Mercy had left the throne of God. God will judge the world without mercy. How many know that?
Amen.
Only one thing you'll recognize in that day. What is it? Blood. That's the only thing that appeased an angry God.
Adam and Eve made just as good an apron as any Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or Pentecostal could make.
It covered their nakedness, but God could see through it, so He killed something and took the dead skins of the dead animal and covered it. Blood had to take its place. That stayed his wrath. He seen the blood and backed off from it because something had shed its life. Oh, God, think of it. Only thing that'll back off God is blood. And there's only one blood that he'll back from, and that's his own son. When he sees that's his own son's blood, he'll back. Because that's a gift that is God has given to His Son to redeem those who He foreknew. And it brings God back from His judgment. But when that blood is removed, then all that was foreknown has been called into the precious body. His church has been made ready and taken up. Then God's wrath is on the people. Oh, brother, don't never want to stand there. Let me stand before a machine gun. Let me be cut to pieces. Let me be sawed inch by inch. Let anything happen. If the oath of the Knights of Columbus, let them split open my belly and burn sulfur and everything else in me, my arms and legs cut off, whatever it may be. But never let me stand at that white throne judgment before God. Oh, let me take this little throne here before the seat of Christ and accept His blood. Amen. Nothing in my arms I bring, Lord. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all I know about. This is all my hope and stay, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No wonder Eddie Pruitt turned down on his songs. He's a Christian, a staunch Christian. They didn't want to buy his songs. One day he said, I'll write one. And someday that they'll receive, and the people want something more modernistic in the religious songs. One day there the Holy Spirit took on him, grabbed the pen, and he wrote, All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Lord, Lord.
For on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. All other grounds is sinking sand.
Hallelujah.
Where's church, where's friend, where's foe, where's nation, where's riches, where's poverty, where's good or whatever it is, all other grounds is sinking sand. That's the only thing it'll finally go away. But Christ, that solid rock I stand. All other grounds is sinking sand. Bear that in mind. Notice, let's go over to Leviticus 16 and read in the back, way back in the back of the Bible now, the Levitical law, and see over here of Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and begin with the 14th verse of the 16th chapter. Oh, I love to take my time on these things, bring them out. Leviticus 16, 14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat. Up on the mercy seat. Watch. We're going to get into this after a while. Eastward. Don't forget that word, eastward. Where's Jesus coming from? The east. In the cloud of glory. Where does the S-U-N rise? East. Where will the S-O-N rise? East. Where was the mercy seat setting? Towards the east. Why have I got you all setting this way? Towards the east. Why, the altar is to the east. We'll see that while I'm going to draw it out. I asked as many as I could to bring papers and so forth to get these maps in a few minutes. Or sprinkle it eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. Oh, isn't that beautiful? 7 times towards the east. What is it? The 7 church ages shall be covered by the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ's blood just as sufficient yesterday, today, and forever. And to every age, to save every sinner, heal every sick person, bring every miracle, every sign to pass.
Amen.
7 times, way back yonder in the Old Testament, 1,490 years before Christ comes. Think of it. Symbol. 7 times then shall he kill the goat, the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood in the veil to do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their trespasses in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them, that is in the midst of their uncleanness. What was it? The mercy seat. Where are they now? And there inside of the ark was the what? The law. And the law to trespass one commandment was to die without mercy. But be that you could have mercy, the blood had to lay on the altar. They sprinkled the mercy seat, and the mercy seat is the altar where you kneel and ask for mercy. God forbid it we ever take it from our churches. The old-fashioned altar where man can kneel and call on God for mercy. And mercy is rich and flowing free from the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, also, that's the mercy. That's mercy seat. But you notice in here, it was not mercy seat. For there was lightnings and thunder and voices. There's no lightning and thunders at mercy. That's judgment. Let's turn to Exodus 19, chapter of Exodus, and the 16th verse. Exodus 19, chapter of Exodus, and let's begin with the 16th verse. And it came to pass, listen, when God ascended up on Mount Sinai, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunder, lightning, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. What is the voice of the trumpet? The archangel. So that all the people, listen, all the people was in the camp trembled. Judgment! Whew. Then marched out there, and God had given them grace to travel by, but they had demanded a law. God wanted to be in a denomination. They wanted to make a denomination out of something they could argue about. Instead of just following God and living under His jurisdiction, under His power, grace had provided a prophet. Grace had provided an atonement, a lamb. Grace had provided all these things, and yet they wanted judgment. They wanted something they could do. God said, send them together. I'll let them know what it is. I'll show them what it is. Read, listen. And the voice of the trumpet got louder and louder until it shook the earth. You see what judgment is. I don't want that. Give me mercy. And, yes, that was Exodus, the 19th chapter and the 16th verse, Brother Fred. Exodus 19, 16. Now, notice the 17th verse. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. Oh, my. I want to meet Him in peace. Not like that. And they stood at the inner part of the mountain. Way back. Remember that mountain had lions drawn around it? Even if a cow touched that mountain, it had to die right there. They come in the presence of God. And God and Moses brought forth the people. Now, the 18th verse, the next verse. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Just smoking and burning like a furnace. What did He send? Not in His Shekinah glory, but in the wrath of His judgments. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. Brother, I don't want to be there. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. Moses spoke, not the people. They were shaking to pieces. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, if the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven in this world, neither in the world to come. Don't gaze upon it, stay away from it, or either accept it. We better leave that scripture. Read it on, the rest of it. See what God said, and the people said, oh, Moses, you speak. Don't let God speak anymore. We wish now we hadn't asked for this. See? Let you speak to us, Moses. God speaks, we'll all die. See, God had made an atonement. Now, the voice of the throne. Notice in this throne, before the throne was the seven stars. The voice of the stars, voices. You see, there was more in the Revelations 4 here, or 5. We find out, and out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunders, and voices. Not one voice. Voices, plural. What was it? God! Speaking to the church! Reflecting himself to the seven spirits. When the true anointed of God speaks, it's the voice of God. To reject it is to remove the candlestick. Voices, the voice of the seven church ages. Over here in the corner. The voices speaking with thunder and lightning. Nowadays they're so, well, we don't believe in saying hell in the pulpit. Oh, mercy. So, oh, we need man of God. Man who won't hold back. Now, everybody can't be a preacher. But you got a voice. If you can't preach to people a sermon, if you're a preacher, you're called to the pulpit to preach. If you're not, you're still a preacher. But live the people a sermon.
Amen.
Let your sermon be lived, and it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it. You say, no one can put a finger on his or her life. They're sweet, living. If there ever was a man of God, it's that man or that woman. See? Live your sermons. Don't try to preach them. If you're not called to be a preacher, get all mixed up anyhow and messed up, and you'll get people tangled up. You'll ruin them and yourself too. Just live your sermon.
Amen.
The preacher's called to preach his and to live it too.
Amen.
If you can't live it, then stop preaching.
Amen.
But you're supposed to live your sermon. All right, here was voices. Oh, how we need in Jeffersonville. Thousands of lived voices. The thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness. Purity, undefiled lives. Walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Yes, they're real Christians. That's thunder against the enemy. The devil don't care how loud you can holler. The devil don't care how much you can jump, how much you can do this or shout. But what hurts the devil is to see that sanctified, holy life, consecrated to God. Say anything to him, call him anything, just as sweet as it can be him, move right on. Oh, my. That throws him away. That's the thunder that shakes the devil. Just like, what do you say if he could preach like a Billy Graham or an Oral Roberts or somebody, a great influential speaker? It'd be, oh, no. Sometimes the devil just laughs at that. He don't pay no more attention to that than nothing. You get all the theology you wanted to and all the seminary training, and the devil just step back and laugh at it. But when he sees that life, look at those disciples down to that maniac child that day with epilepsy. Said, come out of him, devil, come out of him, devil, come out of him, devil. The devil sitting there said, now, aren't you making a pretty shame of yourself? Now, you see what you're doing? Jesus told you, he commissioned you to go cast me out. Not a one of you can do it. But, brother, when they see one come walking quietly. Oh, my. You didn't have to say nothing. That devil's already scared right then. He knowed he had to leave. Well, there come a life. Not only a sermon, but a life. That come out of him. Oh, my. That done it!
Yeah, my.
Quietly, and know what he was talking about. You know what he was doing. Now, voices. The voices of the seven trumpets. Or voices of the seven stars, seven messengers. But I watch here. And seven lamps before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven lamps. Let's draw a little bit here. The throne. The holy place. The congregation. Right there was one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven stars, seven lamps, seven messengers, seven spirits. Not altogether meaning gods and seven spirits, but seven manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? Here at the throne, shining out in each church age.
church age is reflecting back this way. The voices of God, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
See? Seven, there was voices, and seven lamps on fire. Seven spirits, which are the seven spirits of God. Remember a couple Sundays ago we got to it, the big diamond? But it's cut in many different ways to reflect the fire and light from it. That's the way Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 1. Is that right? Then when was God created? He is the beginning of the creation of God. And God is eternal. Is that right? But when God was created, when a little baby that was conceived in the womb of a mother, a virgin, and she began to develop these cells within her to bring forth this little baby, that was the beginning of God's creation. For God was made flesh and dwelt among us and become Emmanuel, God with us, the beginning of the creation of God. Then in that great jewel that come from the dust because he was made of dust. Is that right?
Amen.
Eat food like I do. Eat food like you do. Which dust of the body he becomes calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light. But in him dwelt eternal light.
Amen.
No wonder the wise man said to the star, guide us to thy perfect light.
Amen.
They were just reflecting the light of one perfect light. And there he was, the perfect light of God, beginning of the creation of God. Now in there was he, how did he be able to reflect himself back to his stars of the earth as the wise man saw him in heaven and they become ministering spirits here on the earth? He was wounded, the big diamond cut off for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace upon him. With his stripes we were healed. What was it doing? Reflecting. Any man that claims to be a servant of God that denies divine healing and his power is not getting his light from that diamond. Not getting his light from that stone because it's reflecting him.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
And through the seven stars and the seven church angels.
Amen.
Oh, praise be to God.
Thank you.
Yes, it's appropriate for a minister to worship God from the pulpit with thanksgiving and praise.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, how real, how it thrills my soul. I feel like I could scream and run and jump as high as I could jump. Because there is something within me that's changed me from what I was. I'm not what I ought to be and not what I want to be, but I know I've been changed from what I used to be.
Amen.
Something has happened. Something taken place. And stand here and see this eternal word that's waved every storm. When they tried to burn the Bibles and everything, it waved right on just the same because it said, heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Up here near Chicago now, and a Bible lays on a pulpit of a church. Way back before the First World War, a missionary, and a fellow was converted, and he wanted to get his missionary's Bible. Said, I can't give you this, and my mother would give me this, and said, when I get home, I'll send you one. He started back across the sea in a German submarine, blowed the ship up. Never found a piece of it. And 2 years later, way down on the coast, you see a box floating. Some of them thought it might be something had drowned, so they got the box out and opened it up. Two fellows walking along, and in there the only thing survived it. There was that Bible that he's sending back to the missionary. It lays on a pulpit here near Chicago today in a Methodist church. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. During the time of the flood here in 1937, this little old church on the mud floors and so forth that was in it. We could ride over the top of it here in a rowboat. The floods went up that night when I preached the gospel and left my Bible laying open on the pulpit when I went home, predicting that flood would come. I said, I've seen them measure 22 feet over Spring Street down here, Old Brother Jim Wise Hart and them laughed at him. You remember that, Brother George? I said, he said, oh, Billy, in 84, it only was about 6 inches on Sprinkley. I said, I've seen a man come down from the skies and take a major stick and stick there on Sprinkley. He said, 22 feet. He said, you're just excited. I said, I'm not excited. Thus saith the Lord. Asked him how many feet was over Spring Street. 22 feet to this inch. Exactly. That old Bible word been preached on that night. She started raining, the blood breaking through and so forth. And this old church, the seats went right straight up to the ceiling. The Bible went right straight up to the ceiling, washing through here with all that water raising up. The pulpit went right straight up. They come right down, and every seat set right back in the same place. The Bible laid right back in the same place. And all that water is still open up the same chapter in the same place. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away.
Amen.
How that Bible floating that salty water for 2 years without even starting the words on it. God's words are true.
Amen.
I remember at that old Brother Jim Wise Hart was so satisfied with that. Every time he'd get a pain on his arm, he got some kind of wrong with him. When he got about 75 years old, he got rheumatism. The pain would go to hurt and here he'd run and get the Bible, open up, lay it on there. Another pain down here. I come up there one day and he had so many Bibles over him, I couldn't see Brother Jim. He just had Bibles all over him. That's God's promise. That's it. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Remember the old fellow used to come by and see me, and none of his people here, I don't think. I used to help him a little, you know, along because he was old and needed money, and he'd come down and he said, one day I was leaving for Canada. Turned around, he went out the gate and he said, Billy, my son, one of these days you'll come back and old Uncle Jim won't be dragging up and down this road here anymore. That was the last time. When I was in Canada, I got a telegram. He died right out there in the arms of Sister Morgan. He had a heart attack and ran out to the hospital. Looked up at her and passed away. Sister Margie, is she here this morning? She usually comes in. You all know one of the great cancer cases where you're in a Baptist hospital. She's been dead for 17 years on the medical clinic over there on the record of dying with a cancer 17 years ago. She lives at 412 Canobolo Avenue, nursing in the hospital out here. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Jim Tom Robinson, the attorney in Louisville, and we all know Jim Tom. That's what brought him to believe in this message. He went up there, and his father's one of the heads of the staff up there at the hospital. He went up and searched it to find out if it was true, if she was dying with cancer and was given up and sent home and thought, as far as they know, she's already dead. And his father searched it too, and it's the truth. And Jim Tom said, it's a lie. She's sitting right up here now. I can take you to her. Oh, he's real God, isn't he? I'm so glad he can look over our mistakes, aren't you? Makes us love him with all of our heart. Thrones, lightnings, what? Seven lamps. Our lamps are seven stars called seven spirits, meaning the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit are the seven church ages, that's the seven seats of mercy for the people. Here they are. Seven seats of mercy. Seven seats, seven churches, seven stars, seven manifestations, seven spirits, seven lamps. Oh my, how God is so perfect. The pneumatics of the Bible, is the most perfect thing there is on earth. You can't get one flaw from Genesis to Revelations in the pneumatics of the Bible. Not another piece of literature written that you can't find a flaw for you read three verses. But not in the Bible. They've been trying for over 200 years to add one phrase to the Lord's Prayer or take one away from it. It's perfect. Can't add no more or take any more from it. They've been thinking they make the prayer a little bit better. They'll try to comb this into it and put that into it or take this out of it. It just ain't right. See, it's perfect. Amen. All of God's ways is perfect. Amen. Therefore, we are imperfect. But he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can we be? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. To forget our own selves and just live in him.
Amen.
There you are. How precious is it? All right. The sixth verse now, if we get into it. Seven lamps. And before the throne was a sea of glass likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Oh, my, look at this. Beasts full of eyes.
full of eyes before and now wait, before the throne was a sea of glass likened to crystal, and in the midst of the throne were four, and around the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, the sea of glass.
You just go to, I'm not saying very much of a simple here, but I want to erase this for a minute. Now,
how we want to study here just a little bit. The sea of glass is symbolized in the old temple, where Moses was commanded of God to build the temple on earth like he saw it in the heavens. Everyone knows that. All right? And
let me just draw a little bit here now. Say, here was the ark in the Old Testament. All right? The next thing, that was called Holy of Holies. And the next place here was the altar, which was called Holy Place. And right before here was the Sea of Brass, it's called. In other words, it was a place where the sacrifices was washed here before they was received on the altar,
at the brass altar, the brazing altar, where the sacrifices burned. Now, we want to watch this now, where it was. Now, in this sea of glass was before the throne and before the holy place, just, now remember, the seven golden candlesticks set here. Like this, coming up, ladder, see? Now, that's one reflects the light from the holy place out to here. Now, you know, you don't have to write this down unless you just want to, but that's, I've got something else here, draw it out myself that I wanted to get to you on. But now, you see, this was called the Sea of Brass. It wasn't quite that big. It was set over more or less position in the temple. It was set along about like this here. It was a sea of brass. It was a laver made out of brass where they washed the sacrifices. Before the sacrifices was burnt or accepted, they had to be washed. Oh, wouldn't that make a sermon? Wouldn't that just strike me? Washed. Before any sacrifice is received to God, it's first got to be washed. How? Not emotionally, but washed by the Word. Now we can go back and get word of this Jewish rabbi. When it's preached on that sermon of the waters of separation, the red heifer waters that kept up, that they were made of waters of separation. And before we can ever come to God with true faith, we first got to come by the waters of separation.
Amen.
Yes, you've got to come by what? The Word.
Amen.
Oh, let me just see if I can talk this so that you, everyone will get it. Now put on your spiritual thinking. Take off the war bonnet and put on your spiritual thinking now, because here comes something washed before it can be received at the altar. Must first be washed by the waters of separation. Now, turn with me right quick to Ephesians 5. Just hold your place and go back just a few pages back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and the 26th verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church he's speaking of. See, now, let me go back a little farther than that. Go back about the 21st verse while you're looking. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourself. Congregation, submit yourself to your pastor. Pastor, submit yourself to your congregation. If a little click rises up, don't be on either side. Submit yourself to the whole congregation. Congregation, if you start in a click, submit yourself to your pastor in the fear of God. See, oh, brother. wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord, because He is your Lord.
How many knows that, you women? Exactly right. The Bible said so in the beginning. Still the same way.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body.
So as a husband, you know that, you married people and adult, or children so old enough to know the way of life. All right?
As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Amen.
Don't run over. If you do that, you're not fit to be a husband. That's right. That He might, listen, here it is, get it now, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the that every worshiper that ever gains access into this has to come by the Word. There's too many comes otherwise. I believe in little stories and things that thought mother died long years ago, she's waiting for you in heaven. That does all right after the Word has been applied. Many people come to the altar because they want to meet their mother in heaven. That's all right. You should do that. But that's not the reason that you come to the altar. You come to the altar confessing your sins because Christ died in your stead.
Amen.
By the Word. Then any sacrifice that does not come according to the Word is unaccepted then. Is that right?
Oh, brother, I hate to say this. Oh, I hate to say it.
Forgive me for saying it. That's the reason Acts 19 stands in the Bible.
Amen.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we not worthy. He said, and how was you baptized?
Oh, amen.
Why ain't you got in here? They come some other way besides the Word.
Right.
Said, all we went through the form of we was baptized, John. He said, that won't work. John only baptized into repentance, not for remission of sins. And when they heard this, they were rebaptized. Why? By the Word.
Amen.
Washed by the waters of the Word.
Amen.
The Word said in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Anything that tacks anything else onto that is false. Now, my precious brother, I know this is a tape also. Now, don't get excited. Let me say this with godly love. The hour's approach where I can't hold still on these things no more. Too close to the coming. Trinitarianism is of the devil. I say that, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Look where it come from. It come from the Nicene Council, when the Catholic Church become in rulership. The word Trinity is not even mentioned in the entire book of the Bible. And as far as three gods, that's from hell. There's one God. That's exactly right. Now, do you say then you believe that all these people as Trinitarians are of hell? No, sir. I believe they are Christians. But the hour is approaching, brother, where they are sincerely wrong. Any man, anywhere, anytime that wants to talk on the subject, come to me. Any minister, bishop, archbishop, whatever you might be, and this is taped, go around the world. I ask in brotherly love. For any person that hears me on this tape around the world that will come to me and show me one text of Scripture or one paragraph,
in any history, that's authentic history, where that any person was ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost until they organized the Catholic Church, I'll change my doctrine.
Thank you, Lord.
Every person was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And my precious brethren, your eyes are blinded to those things. Pray God give you light. Now, if you've got scripture to support it, I'll be looking for it. You're listening for your call. Beyond this tape, you're willfully walking in spiritual ignorance if you don't challenge me on that.
Amen.
You want to know what's light and what's dark? Let's ask God. Remember, I say, thus saith the Lord.
Amen. Oh, blessed be.
If you believe me to be his servant, and if that wasn't according to the word, it would be wrong. Then if it is according to the word, it's your duty to come straighten me out.
Amen.
See what happens. It's an error. I believe that many thousands of Trinitarian people who believe in three gods is saved. Because they don't know any difference. We're going to get to that on down in the message. Now, don't you all stop your tape and walk out of the house, you Trinitarian brethren. Listen to this. But you just sit still a few minutes. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your congregation. Don't stop getting the tapes. Just stay with it. Search it by the Word and see if it's right. The Bible said, prove all things. I know it's unpopular. So was Jesus. So was the message always. You loved me when I come to heal the sick and afflicted among you. You thought it was great. Great crowds to build up the church. Now, Jesus did the same thing until one day he had to get down to truth.
Amen.
And when he did, even 70 turned away from him. And he turned to the rest of the 12 and said, will you go also? And Peter said those notable words, Lord, who would we go to?
Amen.
For thy words alone are eternal.
Amen.
God's word alone is eternal.
That's right.
And finally, anywhere that God ever had anybody baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You go to Matthew 28:19. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, where Matthew said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And anybody that thinks the Father, Son, Holy Ghost is the name, it shows there's something wrong with their education. Now, for a seventh grade student to say that to bishops that's listening to this, Father's not a name. Son's no name, and Holy Ghost is no name. There are titles that goes to the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Remember, that's not in anger. That's said in love and godly respect.
Amen.
With love and consideration for the full body of Christ, to where I'm invited by my Trinitarian brethren and all over the world to come and preach in their congregation. But I never mention it when I'm among you. I want to be, unless you ask me yourself, and I'll go over to the parish with you and talk with you about it. But before your congregation would stir them up, it's your place to get the revelation and go teach your fun. You're the shepherd of the flock.
Amen.
I'm speaking to ministers.
Amen.
If you don't understand, come, let's set the reason together. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that what's good. Sea of glass where the sacrifice is washed, and we are washed. Oh, don't forget that. We're coming back to it as you want. Washed by the water of the Word. Then you've got to hear the Word before you get into there, because only one way you can approach God, that's by faith. Is that right? Faith cometh by hearing of the Word. Washing our conscience. Not to meet a man, not to meet father, not to meet mother, not to meet baby. That's all true. We will do that. But the first thing we got to come is God's avenue of approach.
Amen.
We'll be washed when we hear the Word of God. By faith we're walking. Grace, what God did for you. That's right. You believe God. You believe on God, and as soon as you're sorry, you're already forgiven. As I was speaking to a brother yesterday, kind of got a little mixed up on it. And I said, look, brother, if you said something to hurt your wife's feelings, immediately you feel sorry for her. You're sorry you did it. You're already repented in your heart. That's right. But you've got to go tell her about it.
You got to go say, honey, I'm sorry I said that. Then you thoroughly repented. That's the way it is with God. A man that would go and say, I hurt her feelings. Don't make any difference. I'll tell her I'm sorry, but I really am not. You're a hypocrite. Hmm? That's right. That will never be received by God. You've got to thoroughly be sorry for your sins. Then when you know that you're sorry for your sins, and then repentance, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive forgiveness, receive the Holy Ghost. Just simple. God's made it so simple. Here, we notice here in the sea of glass, it was likened unto crystal. Now, the sea of glass is symboled tight by the brass sea. This is the glass sea in heaven. Moses saw it as a glass sea and made what was called the brass sea, a brazen altar, brazen sacrifice, brazen altar, rather. You know what brass speaks of in the Bible? Judgment. He made a brass serpent. What does a serpent mean? The symbol of serpent means sin already judged in the Garden of Eden. When thy heel shall bruise his head shall bruise the heel. And brass represents divine judgment. The brass altar where the sacrifice is burned, brazen laver, where it was washed for the water of the Word. See?
Amen.
Elijah in his days went out and looked up and said, the sky looks like brass, divine judgment upon a rejected nation. Oh, my. Brass. Brazen. Now, we're at the laver. And if you notice, this laver was empty and was as clear as crystal. Why? The church had already been redeemed. Now we notice a little later on, though, when the tribulation saints comes up, we find it again full of fire. Do you know what we'd like to read that? Let's go over to Revelation now, 15th chapter, the second verse, and read where we see this brassy fire again. All right. And I saw another angel. I saw another sign in heaven, right? Great and marvelous. Seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. Now the wrath of God, what? And I saw as it was a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now watch. And they that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over the number of his name stood on the sea of glass having harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. Oh, do you see it?
Amen.
Tribulation period. Oh. Are you in a hurry?
No.
All right, listen. Let's notice something here. How do we come? We've got to come, this Gentile church, to this Word, sea of glass, water, water of the Word. Is that right?
Amen.
Recognize the Word the way it's written. Then the sacrifice is received and filled with the Holy Ghost from the inside, shining through the light of that age.
When
this air comes out of the holy place in the air, out of that star in the air. Get it?
Amen.
Notice. Now, at the end of this age, John, when he saw the sea of brass, there it was clear as crystal. What was it? The Word had been taken from the earth. Raptured in the church, and it was clear as crystal. No more blood. The church age was over. Now, in Revelation 15, the remnant of the woman's seed, which was the tribulation saints that went through the tribulation, was found, look, standing on this sea.
Amen.
And it was filled with fire, blood, red blazes. Licking forth the fire of God, they had gotten the victory over the beast, Rome, over his number, over the letter of his name, and over his image, the Confederation of Churches. And it come out, and through the preaching of Moses,
Moses and Elijah, those two prophets that will appear to Israel to pull out this group of people, those tribulation period saints, back in that time that will be brought in. See, the church is a rapture now. But remember, the wife is on the throne. The tribulation period lived in the kingdoms out and brought all their kings and their honor and glory into the city. As we get down into Revelation 22, you'll see it. Several things run back and forth. But hit the high spots of it. Then someday maybe the Lord will even have a lot of time to talk of it. Now, these tribulation periods, saints, that come up and went through great tribulations, the church will not go through the tribulations. Do you see that already in glory?
Amen.
And here's the tribulation, saints. The sanctified ones that had been, it's mine and your fault. They had never heard the word. If they heard it and rejected it, they went on to hell.
Amen.
They was cast out in the outer darkness because they rejected the word. But if they would never heard it, God's just.
Amen.
Tribulation period comes to them. Now notice just a minute. Saints wash by the same word. Because it's the same altar.
Amen.
It's the same sea of glass. And the same word. Revelation 2:5. Revelation 15, or rather, 2-5. No, notice just a minute. Now, we never took the word to them. That's the reason they was like that. We never took the word to them. We're going to be held responsible. So we'll not be able to catch all the people the church wants in this age that's got the truth. Because they'll go through the tribulation. They're not the saints that died way back down in that church, ain't it? Because he said they come up out of the great tribulation. And the great tribulation is yet future as the church goes home.
Amen.
Oh, there you are.
Amen.
Oh, let's go a little farther. I want to see what kind of word they heard. Now let's start again on the second verse of the 15th chapter. And I saw as it was a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, stood on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now see, they never entered in, but they heard the word. They heard the word. Now listen. See what kind of doctrine they heard. See if it compares to the church now. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. That's after Moses had crossed over. And the song of the Lamb. Saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty.
Oh,
who is that Lamb? Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. See what they recognize him to be? Not the third person in the Trinity, but the Lord God Almighty, the King of Saints. Listen, are you ready? Fourth verse. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? Capital L-O-R-D, Elohim. And glorify, who is it left that will not fear thee and glorify thy name? It was washed with the same waters that you've been washed by now. Hearing the word and the faith and power of Jesus Christ being the Almighty. It's the whole revelation. At the beginning, the whole thing wrapped up in the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. God made flesh among us.
Amen.
Great and marvelous are thy name. Who will not fear and honor thy name? Thou art, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. In other words, we see what it means to not to receive it. Your judgments have been made manifest. So here we stand. We're washed now. We're being washed by the water as we come to the tribulation period. We took our stand for you. and we believed you. And now we stand on the sea of glass and we're honoring and glorifying thee as a reflection of thy holy name.
Amen.
And our channels are true and thy judgments is righteous. Oh, my. We stay a week on that. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's draw something right here now. Just a minute. I got something I want to draw. Now, that's why we take that right there where we are. Now, if we'll notice, there's a great picture. Now, here is the Holy of Holies. All right? Here is the holy place. And here is the first before coming there is the sea. All right, now notice. How do we approach God? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. That's being reflected from the holies of holies into the messenger of the age, back in and that in Solomon's temple. It gives a reflection. Those channels reflected its light out into that brass ladder. So here, the angel of the church age is reflecting into that water.
Amen.
Who this guy is in here?
Amen.
Reflecting his mercy, his word, Amen. His judgment, his name. All is reflected in here where you're separated by believing it.
Amen.
You get it? Notice how beautiful this is here. We talked about the other day. Watch here. Here. Therefore, being justified. Justified by faith. All right? Second place. After being washed, sanctified. And then filled with the Holy Ghost. Justification. Sanctification. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see it? How's his message? Justification by hearing. Sanctification is what you do. And in regard to what you did and appreciation that God sealed you by the Holy Ghost. Now, you, my Baptist brother, want to ask you something. He said, what more could Abraham do but believe God? And God imputed to him for righteousness. That's all he could do right here. He believed God. But God, to accept his belief, give him the seal of circumcision. And seal him, showing that God had accepted his faith.
Amen.
And if you profess faith in God and have never been sealed by the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 4.30, you want to put it down, Ephesians 4.30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed.
Amen.
And you're not sealed until you have received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How long does it last? Till the next revival, unto our redemption.
Amen.
The very day of redemption. There's no way of getting away from it. You can't get away from it, because it won't get away from you.
Right.
See? For you are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Yes.
There's nothing future, nothing present, perils, hunger, thirst, death, or nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Paul said, I'm fully persuaded of that.
Yes.
There you are.
Oh, hallelujah.
Now you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Notice. That'll bring us to last Sunday again. Have I got time? I just watch this. The spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. All right. See, body, soul, spirit. Now, let me erase that and pick something for you. Now I'm going to draw something here. Didn't get a chance to draw it last Sunday. So I got to draw it right here myself on this piece of yellow paper. I want so you can mark it down and you can see what I mean. Now, you and your pencil. Now, this is the body. And this is the soul. And this is the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, Spirit, Holy Spirit. All right. Now, that's what we're made up of. If you notice, over here, holy place. Holy of holy. Here's altar. Holy place. And here's the sea. The sea. That's where you hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hear the word separation. See of separation. Separation sea. Now, notice this. Now there's only one entrance to get into here, and that you have to come here first.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. Now, I wish I had room. I put over here the virgin, one of the wedding supper, another one. See how this man got in here at the wedding supper, and he come in some other way. Here was the door. Jesus said, I am the door. And this wedding table was set here, the people all sitting around, and here was one man up here that didn't have a wedding garment on. And when the king come in, he said, how'd you get here, my friend? How'd you ever get in here? It showed that he didn't come in by this door. He went in at a window, or come in the back way, or through some creed or denomination. He didn't come to the door. Because in the little Orient, they still have the same thing. The bridegroom that's going to be married, he gives out the invitations and furnishes the room to everybody he's invited.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
How my heart spins around and around when I think it.
Amen.
No man can come to me except my Father giving me an invitation first.
Amen.
And all the Father has given me will come to me.
Oh, amen.
I was recalled before the foundation of the world. Oh, to put on the Lamb's Book of Life, to see the light, to receive the Holy Ghost, and walk in.
Amen.
Oh, our name for the Lamb of Sin was put on the book the same time the Lamb's name was put there. The Bible, we get to today, for I said, he deceived all upon the earth, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world. Notice, then if the bridegroom himself, when he stood at the door, the fellow brought the invitation up, said, here it is. Thank you. He took the invitation, laid it down here, and put a robe on him so they'd all look alike. I like that. See? In the power of God, in the church of the living God, the rich, poor, bond, free, black, white, brown, yellow, all look the same. Or they're robed with the same power of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
See? Now, I show you he didn't come with the door. Now, notice here. What if a man tried to go to the Holy of Holies? Somebody, some Bible teacher tell me, if somebody started into this Holy of Holies without coming through here, he died.
Yes,
Aaron's son took strange fire one day. Some denominational fire.
Amen.
When it wasn't denominational fire, and they died at the door. Is that right?
Amen.
Or Eli's sons, it was of Eli. Eli's sons took him in. When it represented the sons of Aaron, which was the priest. Now there's one way to get into the body. How's this body controlled? Now, watch real close now. You get your pencils ready. Here's the gate on this side that goes into the body. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, you got that drawn? Now, the first gate over here is see, smell, hear, and taste, and touch, or feel, either one supposed to be, doesn't matter. Now, that's the senses of the body, is that right? How many know that?
Yeah.
This senses control the body. Now, we got a soul, as you get through this, the senses, the outside. That's the outer system. Now, in here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 attributes in the soul. Now, you'll write them down. The first one is imagination. Imagination. The second one is conscience. And the third one is memory. And the fourth one is reason. And the fifth one is affection. Now, did you get them all? If you don't, then let me know now. You got them all down? See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The body. That's open to the body. The soul is imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. Is the senses or the attributes the, like the senses of the soul, and the soul is the nature of the spirit that's on the inside. Because the soul only puts out an atmosphere of what's on the inside of it. It takes the place of sanctification. The soul is set in the same category there. All right. Now, everybody got them all down? All right. Now, since this gate, there's only one. One gate. That's called self-will. You're the boss of what goes in there. And what does to do? What is this? The body must be washed, the latter sanctified, and here filled with the Holy Spirit here. And this becomes God's justice seat again. Where God sets in your heart, and if you do something wrong, say, "Ooh, man, I did wrong." Some people say, "It don't condemn me to wear short hair to women. It don't condemn me to wear manicure or makeups or whatever it is. It don't condemn me to go to dances. It don't condemn me to tell a little white lie. It don't condemn me to play bridge at my bridge party." You know why? You ain't got nothing to condemn.
That's right.
That don't hurt my conscience. You got more conscience than a snake has hips. So you ain't got no conscience. There ain't nothing that'll hurt you. You're in the world. But I challenge you to let Jesus Christ come in here and try to do it one time.
Amen.
Brother, you'll be so condemned, you'll back off and shake your head from that thing as the terms I'm sending you. Because he's holy. Listen, I'm quoting the scriptures. If you love them things, that's the world, things of the world, it's because the love of God not even in you. How is self-will? Why would you call it self-will, Brother Branham? Because it puts a man and woman back again, just like Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden, on what? The two trees? Self-will. This one is death. This one is life. Self-will. Free moral agency. God placed the first man, Adam and Eve, right here on free moral agency. He places you the same place. And the only way that you can get this thing fixed in here is your own self-will. Hallelujah. Your self-will. You have the will to do God's will. You have to get away your own will to let God's will come in. For this is the only channel that leads to the heart. Oh, you can join church, you Baptists and Presbyterians. And you Methodists and Pilgrim Holdists can come to sanctification. But you have to will to do God's will. Self-will to let the Holy Spirit come in here to bring forth these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay their hands on the sick or take up deadly things and so forth. These signs shall follow them that their will become my will. And the works that I do shall they do also. I hope you don't miss it. There is the will to do God's will. You see what I mean? Look here. Talk about the holy place, the ladder. Here is the light, the candlestick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Each one of them's got a light. Where are they getting their light? Where's the light reflected? Where's it reflecting to? It ain't reflecting over here in the corner on some denomination. Amen. It's reflecting back here to the Word.
Amen.
What is the separation?
Amen.
For repentance and remission of sins, Luke 24:49, must be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem.
Amen.
How was repentance and remission of sins taught at Jerusalem? How far is it to go to all the world? Repent ye, said Peter in Acts 2:38, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That message is to go to all the world.
Amen.
Then the end shall come. Then the end shall be after this message has gone to all the world. How these candlesticks are reflecting light over here on some Methodist says that you're in a Pentecostal denomination? Well, certainly not. It's reflecting here as the I am, not the I was. Not three or four different people, but God sitting in there, reflecting Himself out to each one of those churches.
Look
back and see what they did. We just come through history. They reflected Him as He was. As He is, and like He always will be.
Amen.
He that was, as soon as John got the first glimpse of it, he said, "He that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty God, the creation of God, Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end."
That's the true life being reflected.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Amen.
Amen.
After 12 o'clock, and I got. Let's just hurry so you can copy it down. I just hate to keep you too long, but I don't know when I'll see you again, see? Now, won't you get this? Friends, this is life.
Amen.
Now, look, I don't mean because I'm saying, if I'm reflecting that sort of, then you misunderstand my heart. I'm not trying to reflect oh, this is just you're nothing. I'm not trying to do that. If you haven't received the light, I'm trying to point you to one here. Not to one here, this little bit. The one there at that throne. And that throne which becomes in your heart, then you'll see exactly the same thing as it's reflected here. What is this up here? It's reflecting this. And this is this, the Word. Washed by the waters of the Word, by the Word. Washed through the waters of separation from the things of the world and the world by the Word. The Word says He's the same yesterday and forever.
Amen.
You don't say He's the same in the Pentecostal age back in the disciples and then the next age He changed. No, He's the same. See? You can't make it say nothing else. We can just stay on one of those things for hours. But I hope that you're getting it now. God's called you, you'll get it. That's what I believe it is.
Amen.
All right, sir. Now, what is it? Justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, soul, body, spirit, all the same. Now, lights reflecting the Word, the true Word, reflects what? What would this lamp of it would give this reflection from this Shekinah glory? It would reflect Shekinah glory.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
If you got into seminary, your light, you reflect the seminary.
Amen.
You got into Methodist seminary, you reflect Methodism. You reflect, if you got in a Pentecostal seminary, you reflect Pentecostalism. But if you got it in the glory of God, by the burning bush, well, when Moses come out from his presence, he had to put something over his face so the people couldn't even look at him.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
He was full of the power of God.
Amen.
Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost trying to stop him. Why, he's like trying to put out a house on a windy day in a fire. Put the fire out of the house on fire on a windy day. Well, the more they blowed it, the worse it got. Well, you couldn't stop him. Drugged him and put him before the Sanhedrin. Of course, the Bible said he stood there and looked like an angel. I don't think an angel just meant he was a certain being standing there, but an angel knows exactly what he's talking about. So does any angel. A messenger of the church age don't have to go back and see what the seminary thinks. He knows what God said in His Bible, the power that's reflected to prove that He is the same as He is. He's not afraid. He's telling us exactly what He knows to be true. And God said it right there, backed it up with the same kind of signs and wonders. And with the same Word. That's an angel. Stephen stood there. That's not what I'm talking about. Said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost like your fathers did. So you. So which one of your fathers hasn't killed the prophets and build their tombs to them? You denominations. Which one of you hasn't done the same thing? Build big white wall and tassels and morgues and things around here that talk about God. You're the very one that put Him in the morgue. You're the very one put Him in the tomb. That's the very thing. You put Him in the tomb back there. It was a big white castle church, the denomination. Pharisees and Sadducees. Put Him in there! And then try to build a memorial to it. We tell you that Christ is a living being. He's not something that died. He's something that rose from the dead and alive forevermore. Oh, brother. Sure. What does it do?
It reflects what? It's reflecting from here, what would be? It would reflect the true reflection of Him. Then the first thing it would reflect to be His name. Is that right?
Amen.
It would reflect His name. Next thing reflects would be His power. You know what I mean? It reflects everything He is.
Amen.
So if this is reflecting to this age here everything that He was, then He is the same.
Amen.
Woo!
Glory!
Holy!
What is it? It's reflecting as He was, as He is, as He always will be.
Because it's coming straight from the throne of God.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same God, same power. Same glory, same everything. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, brother. Let's get just a little bit farther. Now, let's take the rest of this sixth verse over here of the fourth chapter. I got some comments wrote down here on that, and I want to hurry and get to it if I can. Now, the rest, if you leave this chapter, if you leave this verse, it just simply just rotates in what they did. Let's see if we can get to there. Glass, sea of glass. Now, we know what that was. And in the midst of the throne, four living creatures, the beast. Now, how many's got a revised version of the Bible? In your revised version, it says living creatures.
Well, I wonder how that this King James here said was for beast. Well, I get me a Greek dictionary and go back in the Bible dictionary and find out what that meant. Now, here's what it is. I know it's close. The word translated here, now you mark it down so you can look it up too, be sure. Yeah, I want you to mark down what I say. And if you can or want to. All right, the Revised Version says living creatures. Now watch. And there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And it goes ahead and describes the beast, which we'll get to it in a minute. Now, the beast here is represented. Have you got a Marjorie reading in your Bible? Well, on beast, if you have, get over to Marjorie reading. I noticed Dr. Schofield here has it marked out in his. The beast means, you got over here, it says living creature. Oh, my. Now watch. The Greek word there is Z-O-O-M. Or Z-O-O-N it is. Z-O-O-N. Now, in the Greek, it's called Zoom, which means a creature. Now, it isn't so, if you want to read it. Now, we haven't got time. I was going to read it, but I haven't. Put down Revelation 11, 13, and 17. Now, there where beast is, the chapters in Revelation 11, 13, and 17 is called beast the same way. But the beast interpretation is T-H-E-R-I-O-N, theron. The word, Greek word theron, which means a wild, untamed beast. Theron. That means a wild, untamed beast. But zoon means a creature. See? Four living zoon creatures. Not the beast of wild, theron, but zoon, living creatures. And theron is wild, untamed savages. In other words, if you'll watch the 11th chapter, the beast of Rome. The 13th chapter, the United States. The 17th chapter, both the United States and Rome. All the denominational churches consolidated with Catholicism makes them an unconverted, untamed to the gospel.
Amen.
Woo!
Praise the Lord.
Untamed!
Bless God, we come from the big Methodist Church, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal denomination. We know what we're talking about, but they didn't go tell us.
There you are. Untamed, unconverted.
Amen.
Without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers, those that argue
them.
Having the forms of... Now, you understand, how many understand, say amen.
Amen.
These are, what is Zoon? Z-O-O-N? Living creatures. It might be pronounced Zon, Z-O-O-N.
How would you pronounce that? Zoon?
Zoon, I'd say. And Theron is T-H-E-R-O-N, Theron, see? So that means untamed beast. Wow! Savage! That's what them beasts, you take your, get your Greek dictionary and go right back and see if that ain't the same word. You look in there and see. Get your Greek textbook. Get your emphatic dialogue. And find out if that isn't true. That is true. That it means an untamed beast. In Revelations 11, 13, and 17, and here in Revelations 4, it means a living creature. Not a beast. But it's called beast. But it isn't. Same thing in Ezekiel 1, 8, 1 to 28 it is. Maybe get to it in a minute. All right. Untamed. Unconverted. Wild beast. Untamed. But these are living creatures. What are they? They're not angels. I'll tell you why. Let's read Revelation 5 right across the page. Revelation 5 and 11th verse. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels, angels, plural, around about the throne, and is a conjunction, and the beast and elders. See? And a conjunction. See? They were not angels. Neither were the elders, they were living creatures at the throne.
Oh, don't you love this?
Living creatures. They're not angels, because this proves right here. See, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. Now, there's three different categories here. I hope you all got this system down here now. I want to show you.
There's three different categories of it. Three different species of us. Around the throne, here's the throne. Now the first at this throne is four living creatures. Outside of that is 24. Just like that. Elders sitting upon the throne, upon their thrones, little thrones, under. And around this is great host of angels. Around the throne. See what I mean? There's every one different one from the other. There is angels, there is elders, and here is living creatures.
Amen.
Let's not leave that for a minute. Let's just hold it there now. Living creatures. What are they? If they're not angels, they're not redeemed man. What are they? Would you like to know?
Amen.
Here's my interpretation. I hope it's right. I believe it is. They are God's guards of his throne.
Amen.
Now, we're going to race this a little bit.
Now, you see, they're not angels or men. They're not wild beasts. They're creatures, living creatures. Now, here's the throne of God. And these are his guards.
Let's read just a little bit and find out in a few minutes. See? There are God's angels, or God's guards of his throne, and they, let's get, just a minute again, let's get back to Ezekiel. I got these things wrote out here, and I just hate to pass them by and know that this is a, let's get back to Ezekiel, the first chapter, and let's begin with the 12th to the 17th verse, just a minute. And they went, everyone, straight forward. Now, we're going to look in a few minutes and remember the 7th verse here. Now, look what they look like over here in the 7th verse of the same chapter of Revelation, the 4. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast was the face head of a man. And the four beasts were like flying eagles. The fourth beast like a flying eagle. Now, when Ezekiel saw the glory of God, he saw the same thing that John saw.
Amen.
You remember last Sunday how we got the glory of God and got the picture where he had it taken with us? Remember that? The glory of God, the same thing Ezekiel saw, same thing John saw. Here it is today, makes Jesus Christ the same as Ezekiel's time, same thing as here on earth, the same God that's here with us today, same yesterday, today, and forever. He that was, which is, and shall come. The entrance to the soul, body, and spirit.
Hallelujah.
The phrase and see, the word, the sanctifier of our soul, and the filler with the Holy Ghost. The same thing, see? Just the same. Now watch this. All right. And the Spirit, wherever they went now, to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. They couldn't turn. If it's going this way, it's going like a man. Going this way, it's going like an eagle. Going this way, it's going like an ox. Going this way, it's going like a lion. They couldn't go backward. They had to go forward everywhere they went. Each one of the beasts. Now, what does the beast mean in the Bible? Power. All right. Means the power. Now, as for the likeness of the living creatures and their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and the like of the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth light. That's God. From the fire went light, the, not cosmic light now, the eternal light. And the living creatures ran and turned, and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels, their work was like unto the color of beryl, and the four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was it was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. What's the symbol here, Brother Branham? What is it? It means that these guards was God's ark. They were in journey, rolling on wheels when Ezekiel saw them, but when John saw them, they'd already come into the right position in heaven. The ark of God was on earth rolling on wheels. As they took it from place to place, meant it was in travel. They took it all the way up through the wilderness and all the way into the field and so forth. But now it's received up because the church age is over and it's received up into glory.
See? It's stationary now in heaven with all the angels and things around it. We find them after a while taking off their crowns and falling on their faces and giving glory to Him. See? It was God, guards of the temple, of the ark. Now remember, God, guards of the ark, or the mercy seat. Now, remember, how many John saw? How many? Four. How many did he see? He seen four, too. Four living creatures. Now watch, they both seen the same vision, and four is the number of earth. Did you know that? How many knows now before he has to go into it, four is the earthly number? Sure. Like the four Hebrew, it's the earth, it's the number of earth of deliverance. Deliverance. Now keep that in your mind, deliverance, because we're going to strike it just a minute real hard. See? Deliverance. Now, there were three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, but the fourth one come, it was deliverance. Lazarus is in the grave 3 days, but when the fourth one come, it was deliverance. Four is God's number of deliverance, so it showed that these beings must have been something about the earth. I hope you're not too hungry now. I hope your spiritual appetite is a little above your natural now. Hmm? All right. Now notice, they had eyes in Ezekiel, in here, in front, and in back, and within. Let's read that. Look here. See? You see here, I believe they spoke in here. Beast, four faces like an eagle, and wings full of eyes, without, within. Look here. And the four beasts, and each of them had six wings about him. And they flew and so forth and had eyes without, within, and behind. It spoke of their intelligence. They know what was, which is, and which shall come. For it was right at the seat.
Amen.
So close till they wasn't even human. Temple guards. Oh, not temple guards. The temple guards are 144,000. But this is the mercy seat guard. The throne guard. The throne right up next to God, living creatures.
Amen.
Next thing to God. Standing there. Their intelligence, they know what was, which is, what shall come. And eyes without. Show what they could see what was to come. Eyes within, knows everything now. And eyes in the back, which know what was. Which Amen. Was, which is, which shall come. Reflecting to the church ages, He that was, which is, and shall come.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only now we're going to drive that thing from the blackboard in a few minutes. Watch this. Now just a minute. Reveals their intelligence. And it showed they know all the future and the present and past and all about it. And they were tireless. They never grew tired. They couldn't be anything connected with a man. He grows tired. But they were tireless. They sang, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, 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 all day and all night. Every holy. Let's go back just a minute. Let's go back. I got a scripture in my Isaiah 6 right quick. Watch, Isaiah saw the same thing. Just exactly every vision of the Lord. That's what I say. If the visions we have today is not exactly Bible visions, then they're wrong. If they reflect or any revelation that shows God anything but what He always was, it's a wrong revelation.
Amen.
The whole church is built upon it. Matthew 17. Let's see, Isaiah, the 6th chapter. This young prophet had been leaning on the arms of the good king, and he bought him all kinds of nice clothes, and he was a prophet, and he got along all the way. But one day the king died, so he had to shift for himself. So he went down to the temple to pray because he began to get out from amongst where the king's place was there. Then the good old king was a good holy man, but he got and seen how the people was living. So he got on in the temple. Now listen. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord setting up on a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Glory. What's his train? There is angels, beings. His train that followed him. The train is what comes behind. See? His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. And each of them had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another,
and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory." And when the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Wow, wow. That shows that visions are just exactly the same, each one of those men.
Holy, holy, holy. They are tireless day and night. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Let's go back this minute now to be sure that we got these fellows right. The first time that these guards was mentioned is in Genesis. Now remember, everything that we preach has got to come from Genesis to Revelation. Anytime there's going to be questions, you come ask me. See? It must be the whole Bible. Not just part of it, because God don't change. What he was in Genesis, he is today, and he was in the Middle Age. He's always the same. See? Now, in Genesis, when these cherubim, that's how I come to find them. I had to go back to find out what there was at the beginning. Let's turn to Genesis 3:24, just for a moment now. Genesis, the third chapter, and the 24th verse. You love it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's begin about 22nd verse. I just like this. This is something I just want to put in here, just a little extra, but it may do a whole lot of good someday. And the Lord said, "Behold, the man is become one of us." Now, my loving and precious and darling sister, let me place it like that. Do not think that I am going to reflect upon the loyalty and the gracious, precious jewel of womanhood. I'm trying to show here what a woman, please, and you on tape, you women will be listening to this tape. I am not trying to scorn you. I'm only a servant of the Lord to bring life. The lowest and immoralest and most filthy thing on earth is a woman when she's bad. And the most precious jewel that there is to a man besides his salvation is a good woman. And I'm speaking to that low, immoral, degraded. And I'm going to show you right here while we're at it. Just might as well show you why. If the Bible teaches for women not to be preachers, pastors, teachers, or anything else in church. Now just listen to this. And the Lord said, "Behold, a man is become one of us." I never said the woman has become one. The man has become one. And knows good and evil. The woman didn't. She was deceived. Do you see it? Now, Paul said, "I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp any authority. But for Adam was first born, and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived." So she didn't become one of God. She didn't know no difference. She was deceived. You get it? If you do, say amen, son. The Lord said, "Behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil. And know, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." So he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flying sword, flaming sword, which turns every way. See the four beasts? There's only four ways you can go, see? East, north, west, and south. These cherubims had a flaming sword at the gate of the garden to keep the way of the tree of life. Because if man ever got a hold of the tree of life, then he can live forever. And these cherubims, first mentioned, was placed at the east gate of the garden, going four ways. I should have made that a little different from that. I can't do justly to God's orders and things like that, but I just so that you don't know what I mean. There's the Garden of Eden. And this is the gate right here. It opens up here. And at this gate, there was cherubims
cherubims. Remember, it doesn't say a cherubim, it said cherubims. Cherubims was placed there to guard what? The tree of life. That's what there is, to guard the way of the tree of life. The way.
Amen.
Who is the way?
Jesus.
Where is it reflected from?
Amen.
Here is the holy place. Here are the cherubims. Now watch. Put all this down. Here is the holy. This holy is the holy. Holy of holies. This is the holy place. And here is the sea. And here is the light candles, the seven, that reflect the light from here, in here, in here, in here, in here, in here, in here. See?
Amen.
What are they reflect? They are guarding and reflecting with the fire of God the way to the tree of life.
Amen.
See, it can't come from over here, Presbyterian Seminary, or Pentecostal Seminary. It's got to come from here. Reflecting the light. All right. You notice these cherubims, as John saw here, must have been interested in keeping the tree of life, so they must be interested in human beings. A regenesis, getting back to Genesis again. They kept the tree of life, guarded it, the way of life, the way of life. How is the way? Jesus said, I am that way. I am that bread that comes from God out of heaven. If a man eats this bread, he'll live forever. Now there is a way back to that tree of life. You get it? Now, at this I want to show, now I make this sure it's an altar. Now, this must have been an altar at the Garden of Eden. I'll tell you why. Do you remember? Both Cain and Abel come up here to worship. So that shows that God's altar was moved and set here at the Garden of Eden, and the only way back to Eden is by the altar.
Amen.
Here you are, again. See? Back to Eden, to the altar. And they were to keep that way there, guarded. If they couldn't get back there until this altar was covered with blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God, take people, see that. See? Nothing but the blood. There has to be an atonement, a mercy seat there. This altar of judgment must become a mercy seat.
Amen.
And when this altar is the blood is lifted, thou stand on that judgment day, the fire of God's wrath to guard that tree again.
Amen. Amen.
Only one thing will enter into this gate to eat again, will be through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see it?
Amen.
Now, notice. Yeah, now Cain. Well, here's Cain, and here's Abel. Abel. All right? Now, both boys come up to this gate to worship. Is that right?
Amen.
So it must have been God's altar.
Yes.
Is that right? And before this altar, they built substitutionary another altar. Here's the true altar of God, is in the heart of man. Then there's another altar down here which is representing the holiest of holies in the holy place. Oh, I feel like speaking with tongues. Oh, my! The glory of Jesus is perfect.
Amen.
Just notice. Oh, the reason I said that, because I can't find enough words in my own English dialect to express my feelings.
Amen.
Something has to express, like Brother Rowe, a diplomat, a president, about four or five different presidents. He said, oh, Brother Branham, one night I come to the meeting. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I stood out there and he said, oh, said, I've loved the Lord all my life. He said, I've been, Episcopalian. He said, I thought I know the Lord. He said, and one night I looked around, I didn't know what to do. He said, I wouldn't go in for nothing. But said, I heard the word coming forth. Oh, it began to come. He said, I began to walk up and down on the outside of the tent, walking back and forth. He said, directly, I couldn't wait to get to the door. I crawled under. When the altar call was made, and run to the altar and fell down and said, Lord, I am a sinner. And said, then he filled me with his Holy Spirit and said, I can speak eight different languages, because he's a diplomat. See, he is a diplomat to the president, and always from Woodrow Wilson down. He's a diplomat to every one of our presidents, foreign diplomat, can speak any foreign language. He said, I practically know every known written language in the world. But said, I was so full of glory, I couldn't use any of them to praise him, so the Lord give me a brand new one, I'll have to praise him with them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whoa! There you are. Guarding this gate. Cain and altar that they guard. Is that right? These cherubim? Another thing, notice here's another evidence. Cain, watch the Bible now. I'll have you turn to it, but never mind. You get it, Genesis, or what? Cain went out. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord from the gate at the garden. Amen. So the presence of the Lord must have been at the altar, and the altar was at the gate.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Oh. All right. It's God's dwelling place.
Amen.
And His altar. Now, Cain went out to the presence of the Lord from this place. You want to put it down? Genesis 4:16. You want to put it down? Now you got all that, have you? Wrote down?
Now I've got something else for you to draw here. Man. I just hope none of your beans, starches, or anything.
Now, notice. Let it scorch. That's all right. They'll perish anyhow. Let's think of here. This is a thing that's real. Moses was taken up into heaven. Moses taken from the earth up into heaven and saw the order of God. Is that right? I'm trying to prove my point here. You know what I'm trying to do, don't you? Right? He went up in the presence of God, and when he descended from the presence of God, he said, God told Moses, make everything on earth as patterned after heaven. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Then what he did, when he made the Ark of the Covenant, he put two cherubim to guard the Ark.
Amen.
See what it is? It was the temple, it was the altar, the throne guard. The two cherubim, he said, mold them out of brass and put their wings a touching like this, because that's exactly what he saw in heaven. That's exactly what John saw in heaven. These four cherubim on the four sides of the ark of the throne of heaven. They were the guards of the ark. Cherubim, guards at the mercy seat. If you want to read that scripture, we ain't got time to go to it. Put on Exodus 25, 10 to 22. Now, they guard the mercy seat when God is in His Shekinah glory. Where was the Shekinah glory?
At the mercy seat.
Amen. Is that right? They guard that Shekinah glory. Listen, friends, then it goes to show that every scallywag can't come there and take of that.
Amen.
You've got to be prepared before you come into the presence of it. Look at Aaron and Titus. Before, now remember, the congregation in them days couldn't even approach it in no manner. But when Aaron went in, how many times did he get to go into it? Once a year. How did he had to have on certain clothes that was made with certain hands? A peculiar type of clothes. He had to be dressed in such a way he had a pomegranate and a veil, that every time he walked, it played, holy, 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 unto the Lord. He was approaching the mercy seat with the blood. And he had to be anointed with a certain oil, perfumed with a certain perfume, made out of the rose of Sharon. And Jesus was that rose of Sharon. I noticed a rose is a beautiful thing. It has perfume in it. But before the perfume can come out, the rose has to be crushed. And then the perfume is squeezed from the rose. Jesus in His life was the most beautiful life ever lived. But He couldn't remain that way because He had to anoint His church to approach His holiness. So His life was squeezed out, and the same Holy Ghost is up on Him as put up on the church.
Amen.
And He makes Him the same yesterday, today, and forever.
The rose of Sharon, the perfume thereof.
Hallelujah.
Of the person that's approaching into this holiest of holies has to be anointed with the same Holy Spirit. And as he walks, holy, 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 until, not with a cigar in his mouth, holy, not with his collar turned around, holy, 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 rest in the holiness of Jesus Christ. How wonderful thou art. Now, the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat's in the heart. Seat where the shining forth of His glory in all of His children, the Shekinah glory in the human heart. Here's the human heart. Is that right? Is that the mercy seat? How do you come to it? Into that, through these different systems? Through self-will. Self-will. Comes into here, and through there, comes out what? Shekinah glory. What kind is the Shekinah glory? It's God's presence.
Amen.
And when a man's walking or a woman, he's reflecting the Shekinah glory. You don't go into gambling dens and carry on and go out here and deny the Word. No matter what the people says, he's got his heart set on one thing, God. And if he's truly called of God, then Jesus Christ reflects himself through him with the Shekinah glory, doing the same things he did back there, manifesting the same gospel, preaching the same word being made manifest in the same measure it was then, just like it was truly at Pentecost, it's measured back again. Oh, my. Mercy seat. Ezekiel and John both seen the same thing. Now, notice. Now, we're just about to come to the end just a little bit. Now, here's where I want you to get something old. Please don't miss it. Now, how many know that those cherubims were living creatures and not beasts? They were the higher order. Now, is an angel a higher order than a man or a lower order? All right, which is the greatest, the Son of God or an angel? Son of God. Which would God hear the best? An angel stand there before him pleading for something, or one of you all pleading? One of you all, see? Because your sons and daughters, they're servants. See? They're servants, and your sons and daughters. So see what authority you have, this is great to use it. Now, I want you to notice here, this is beautiful. Oh, now, let me go over here and skip some of this so I can get down to this. Get your pencils. Now, here's what I really want you to draw in. Maybe I better make that a little smaller. Now, Israel in their journey, when they camp, now, watch this close. They camp 1, 2, 3, 4. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. That's the way they camped around the mercy seat. I know all you know that you watch this in the Old Testament. Now, on the east side, right here, I'll put it down so you'll be sure to get it. East. The east side was always Judah. This is the gate. J-U-D-A. Judah. And with Judah was the head of three tribes with their banner. Three tribes with their banner, the banner of Judah. You remember, how many seen the Ten Commandments? Let's see if we'll see the Ten Commandments, all right? I hear the scripture, in the scripture there, brother. That was Judah on the east side, all right? On the west side, down here, I put down, you read right, so in Exodus and so forth, as you come out, was Ephraim, E-P-H. And he had three tribes with their banner. All right? Ephraim. Now, and on the south side was Reuben, R-U-B, with three tribes and their banners. And on the north side was Dan. Dan with three tribes and three tribes and their banners. All right? Now, that's the way they came. Now, remember, let's read now in the scripture now so we get this just exactly right. I'll begin back at the seventh verse. And the beast was likened unto a lion, and the second likened unto a calf, or a young ox, and the third beast was like the face of a man, and the fourth beast was, and fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and shall come. And when these beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Now, I want on the What kind of faith?
Did you notice? It was a lion. L-I-O-N. That was the banner.
That was the standard banner of Judah, because he is Jesus come out of the truth, and he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, how many ever seen the zodiac? Many of you know what is the star. See, that was God's first Bible. Now, what does it start off at, the first number in the zodiac, the first figure? Is the virgin. Is that right? Yes. What's the last one? Leo the lion. The first coming and the second coming of Christ. All through that, you get the cross cancer, cross ages, just the voice cross fishes, which is the cancer age. And we live right through it. Notice in the pyramid when he built it in the time of Enoch, every stone was in there. They can measure them things just as that can tell the wars and things. Everything is complete but the headstone. Why? You know what's on your dollar bill? Take it out. Look, the cap's off of it. Why? It never was capped. Christ is the headstone. That was rejected. He was a rejected headstone. He's coming back pretty soon. Watch how that church, way back here in the Lutheran age, way wide at the bottom, then become minority. A little bit more minority. A little bit more, until it comes right down as it leaves the Pentecostal age, and comes right down to every stone to fit right in to put that cap in there. A church that'll bring Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just
amen. Perfect as it can be.
Now, he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, anybody that's ever read the Bible know what Dan number was, or that what Dan, oh, I mean, what, yeah, what Dan was?
Is the eagle, that's right. He was an eagle. Somebody can read the Bible.
He was the eagle. Now, the Reuben was the man.
He's the first one.
The weakest one of the bunch. Didn't they, Jacob, say so in Genesis 49? Reuben, thou art the first of my strength, but like water. You went up on my couch and defiled my couch and live with his father's concubine, see? That's the immorals of them, the human being, see? The animal don't have them immorals. The lion, none of these things have that, but the man does.
Run with the next man's wife and so forth, just like, just the same thing, everything's complete.
Now, this down here, this Dan was an eagle, and this Reuben was the man's face, and Ephraim is the ox. Now, you get the picture there? Ephraim, that's the way they came in the Bible. Now, if you'll notice, Dan is the head of three tribes. Judah is the head of three tribes. Reuben is the head of three tribes. And Ephraim is the head of three tribes. Three, four is the 12 tribes of Israel. See? Each one with their banner. And the banner of Judah was a lion. The banner of Reuben, man. The banner of Ephraim, an ox. The banner of Dan was an eagle. Now look back here what John said. And one had the face. Let's read here now. You'll see if it isn't the same thing was like in heaven. The first beast was like a lion, Judah. The second beast was like a calf. That's a young ox. The third beast was the face of a man. And the fourth beast was a flying eagle. Just exactly the tribes of Israel danced around, guarding their earthly guard all the right to the ark. Hallelujah. Don't you see it?
Here. Mercy. M-E-R-C-Y-S-E-A-D.
Mercy seat. Nothing could come anywhere around it without crossing those tribes. Crossing what? The line.
Amen.
Crossing the man, the intelligence of the man. And crossing the workhorse as an ox. Crossing the eagle's swiftness of it. See? The heaven, the earth, in between and all around.
Holy.
They were guarded. And above it was a pillar of fire. Brother, nothing touched that mercy seat without the approach. And the only thing that could approach it was through the blood. Aaron went in there once a year with the blood. Now you see it? How much? Each head of three tribes guarding the mercy seat. The mercy seat of the Old Testament. Now, have you got that down? Everybody? Now, here's a brand new one, brother. Listen to this.
Then we'll know.
I remember that was the guards of the Old Testament. How many's ever read the Bible? You know, that's right. See?
Yeah.
That's the guards of the Old Testament. Now, we're living in another age. Glory! Oh, I love this age, don't you?
Amen.
Now, God has a mercy seat today to be guarded. You believe that?
Amen.
Where's the mercy seat found? In the heart of man. Where did it come in the heart of man? At the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost, which is God, come into the human heart. Is that right?
Amen.
Now let's mark this down here. You give it to the Lord if you want to. Pentecost. P-E-N-T. Pentecost is the mercy seat, the Holy Ghost. Put in here, I tell you what, make it more appropriate. Let's put in here the dove, which means the bird. All right? Guard in the mercy seat.
Now, has God got guards for the mercy seat today? I watch how beautiful it's thought out. I sat the other day and saw this, and I just jumped up and run around the chair saying, glory. Round. Charlie, I, of course, do up the woods sometimes. Sister Nellie, if I act like that, you run me out of your house. Oh, I just had a glory sound. Now watch what it was. What the Lord did. Now, Pentecost, after Pentecost, wrote a book of what? Acts of the Holy Ghost. A-C-T-S. Is that right? What does the Acts start off with, the first thing to enter into salvation? Acts 2:38. Is that right?
Yeah.
They was all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, and Peter stood and preached them a sermon. They said, what can we do? How are we going to get into that?
He said, Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, name of Jesus Christ.
Now remember, God's got some guards for that mercy seat.
What is that mercy seat guard? All right? M-A-T-H, Matthew, on the east.
The book of Acts to come.
Amen.
They've got it anywhere you want to look at it. Let's just take one. Just one. We ain't got time. I got 20 of Boro down here. But let's just take one on this subject for salvation. Now, we're going to have time to pray. Well, it's 1 o'clock. So, yes, we won't have time. Unless you all want to pray for sick. Now, I got plenty of time. All right. Now, notice this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is it? Earthly numbers. Of the Gospels, 4. All right, notice. Now, Matthew 28:19. That's where you Trinitarian brothers going. 28:19. All right. Matthew's the last part of the chapter. Say, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the earth comes around Pentecost, as Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Something's wrong there. Matthew, are you that eastern gate guard? How is the gate? The gate is what? Jesus. Jesus said, straight is the gate. Is that right? Is it spelled? How is it spelled? S-T-O-A-I-T or S-T-O-A-I-G-H-T? S-T-O-A-I-T means water. Water is the gate. How do you come in? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Unlocks the gate. Oh, but Brother Branham, you got Matthew 28:19 down there.
That's exactly right.
But Matthew, are you a guard to it? Sure. I'm the full guard. Now get Matthew 1:18 and see what it says.
See, it guards this. See, if Matthew 1:18 is guarding Matthew 1:28 and Acts 2:38.
Yeah.
See, if it guards it.
Amen.
Now the Lord Jesus Christ don't miss out. Here's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, he tried to say. But the Jesus Christ is on this life with his mother Mary, with his child Joseph, before he came to us, he is now with the child of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Which one? That's part of both one. And this is all done that, and behold, what? Joseph, her husband, being a just man, God will even make her public example while his body put away on this life. Behold, the angel of the Lord. Then he come upon you and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not taking thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is all the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Jesus. It's all done that might be fulfilled with the prophet which a virgin shall conceive out. Isaiah 9:6. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name. Does he guard it?
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just this. Title, that one name.
Amen. So the guard stands out there to back it up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You get it?
Amen.
Oh, my. Now, how many knows that?
Amen.
Here it is. He's a guard.
Now, that's just I've got a whole bunch of others for salvation. Take these others.
But now, if we're going to have a prayer line just in a minute, for just about 10 minutes, let's try something else here just a minute. Let's take some scriptures now. Hold on right here. Here we are.
All right. Now let's take and see if Matthew up here now will guard it for divine healing. Got your pencils in hand, guys? You write this down? All right. See if Matthew will guard it. Let's take Matthew 10 and 1. Let's take and see if John, just one or two. Let's take two or one or two. John 14, 12, and 15, 7. Sit their guard and divine healing around the throne of God. Mark 16. Mark 11, 21 and 22. Luke 10 and 1 to 12. And Luke 11, 29 to 31. Let's run a few of them. See if they guard.
See if they guard the rights of divine healing.
The thing is, they guard the gate for Jesus' name's baptism.
We can take it through each one of them.
Amen.
That's right. Now, let's just go back and see Matthew 10, 1. Just turn back now, so then we're going to close just in about another 5-10 minutes at the most. The Lord's willing. All right, let's get Matthew 10, see if Matthew guards the Acts of the Apostles. Did you think that if God don't put a guard around His Word?
Amen.
See if that ox, lion, man, eagle, is it still sitting at those gates right here on earth right now?
There's the gospel, the four gospels. See, and you notice every way they went straight forward. They don't contradict one another, they stay with one another. One goes with the shrewdest of a man, the other goes with the swiftest of an eagle, the other is the pastor.
Amen.
One's a
banister,
supply, like a banister, see, the other is the pastor, the other is sturdy, the other is shrewd. See, guard it on every side. God guarding this Holy Ghost gospel.
Amen.
Believe it, brother.
Amen.
All right. Now, let's take Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. They're gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. Baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. What he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, just pacify the baby just a minute now. Listen close. I gave them power against unclean spirits. Many pastors just let the unclean spirits stay right in his church. Women dress, act, card parties, bunco games, dances, soup suppers, oh, mercy. Against unclean spirits. To cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases.
See that guard sitting there at the gate?
Amen.
The gospel guard to back up that book of Acts that was wrote.
Now, I heard a great teacher not long ago said, a great man, fine man, met him and shook his hand, a fine brother. He said, but the Acts of the Apostles is just a framework for the church.
In other words, he had the framework out here. See? When the Acts of the Apostles is inside, and these gospels are the framework to hold it together and protect it.
Amen.
See how the mind of a man can do anything? I'd thought the same thing if it wasn't for him. See?
The framework, Pentecost was the framework of the gospel. The four gospels are the framework to back Pentecost.
Amen.
After they had this framework of Pentecost to come into existence.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Which is wrote first, the book of Acts or the apostles? The apostles.
G.
Jesus walked along doing works and predicting what would come. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, them four guards coming right and everything that seemed to come to pass, telling just like this how it was going to happen, what was going to take place. Then all at once they framed it around and here it comes.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the framework or the guard work that protects the main temple.
Amen.
The throne. The Pentecostal blessing, not Pentecostal denomination, brother. Sister, they're far back outside the whole thing. Farther back than any other churches.
Amen.
They're farther away than Lutherans was. Lutherans did keep a little better than they did. That's right. More like it. That's exactly right, Jesus. Because I didn't see Jesus on the outside of the Lutheran church trying to get in, but I was trying because I think he never was in the first place. But he was in the Pentecostal church and was put out.
Amen.
That's right. Now Matthew 10:1. Now let's go over here to John 14:12 and see if John's going to back up and guard the precious things of Pentecost. And John 14th chapter and the 12th verse. Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father."
Oh, brother, that gate there with the eagle was sitting right there, because that's the evangelistic service, you know, flying like an eagle.
Scriptures go plumb up into the prophetic land up there, you see, and foresee things and tell things that was, which is, and shall come. See? Sitting right there, going into the works that I do. Watch that eagle.
See, here's the line, the stirring.
Jesus gave them power, and he protected. He protects Acts 2:38. He packs you right up there, that line. Here comes that swiftness of the gospel in this eagle. Then these works that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do.
Amen.
I'm across the world with it.
Amen.
Like the dove that had the mate's head pulled off and poured on the blood, sprinkled the ground, crying, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." Clean the leper. Yeah, now I got another one there, John 15:7. Let's turn that over to 15th chapter, 7 verse. "If ye abide in me,
now,
and my words," not the seminary's word, "my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Is that right?
Then the gospel is guarded right here. The Pentecostal blessing is guarded by John, his gospel. Guarded by Matthew, his gospel. Now, let's go down to the next gospel, Mark, 16th chapter.
If Mark guarded this Pentecostal blessing. Mark, the 16th chapter. Now let's begin here about the, talks about the resurrection. Now let's go on down to, we hit about the 14th verse, the Mark 16. "After he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." They didn't believe the ones that were trying to tell them the message. See, that's the way it is today. The people's got a witness of the Holy Ghost. The people's a nonsense, a bunch of holy rollers. And he upbraided them for the hardness of their heart and their unbelief that is known him in his resurrection. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature."
Wow. There's only one gospel for God.
Preach this gospel to every creature. Now remember,
he's taking in both, all four guards, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned."
See, the end of this baptism here.
"He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." Oh, brother, believe, please. "And," conjunction to tie the rest of the sentences together, "and these signs shall follow them that believe." Well, now let's see. What does the Methodist say? If you can shout, live a good life. The Baptist says, just have faith and be baptized. Episcopalians say, stand like an Episcopalian like that and bow when the chant is being done. The Catholic says, say a Hail Mary. The Pentecostal says, join our denomination. Be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There you go. See? "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name." No Father, Son, and Holy Ghost about that. "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover."
Amen.
Amen. Now, get right back to the 11th. Remember, we're just about ready to close. Matthew 11.
And I got 20 and 21.
Jesus speaking. All these are Jesus speaking now. Not a one of them, but what Jesus is speaking. Every one.
And on tomorrow, when they came near Bethany, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree, that's when he cursed the tree. That's Matthew 21. I got 12. Pardon me. Mark 11, 21 and 22. And Peter, calling to remember, said to him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed in the way. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. See? For verily I say unto you,
then it's on the inside,
say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he can have, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Boy, the south gate guarded by the ox.
Amen.
The north gate guarded by the lion. The north gate, the east gate, and the north gate is guarded by the flying eagle. John, the evangelist. Then, the physician on this side, Luke,
the man. Now let's see what Luke says. Take Luke, the first chapter, I believe we got Luke 10 and 1 to 12. It's the commission, you all know what it is, but Luke, the 10th chapter, and 1 to 12. All right, we could go right ahead and read it all, but we won't have time to do that. Go your ways, it starts the third verse. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither person of script. See? Don't go in some name of a denomination. You go as I send you. See? Don't go with an assurance that you're going to get $100,000 for this revival. If you don't go. See? Set up your campaigns and said, go where I'm sending you. See? Carry neither person of script nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Don't stop by and say, I'll go over and see how these are going along, how these go right on where I send you. Pay no attention to nobody else. And to whatsoever house you enter, say, peace be unto this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall return, shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same hour, remain in the same house, rather, remain eating and drinking such things as they give. Now, all this stuff about not eating meat and so on and forth, my goodness. For the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Go with the Joneses the day to dinner and go with the next pair the next day, stay right there. That's when I go into a meeting. You know why I stay right in the hotel and stay right there? That's exactly where I find peace. Don't go from house to house. And to whatsoever city you shall enter, that when they receive you, eat such things as set before you. And heal the sick. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom is God is come nigh unto you. But now let me read the next verse. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out of the city in the same day, even the very dust of the city which cleaves on us. Even the very dust of your city which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than for that city.
Amen. Oh, brother, that blessed assurance.
Hallelujah.
If they don't see, receive you, go ahead. Just say, well, if you don't want me, I'll just wipe the dust off and off my shoes and go right on out. In other words, say, I never touch nothing. If I eat anything, I'll pay you for it. And let's go on. He said, in every one of those cities that they went to and was not received, every one of them is sunk and gone today. And every city that received them is standing to this day. There you are. Now, one more. Now closing. Let's see, we got 10. 11, 29 to 31. Luke 11, 29 to 31. Then we'll be closing. Oh, I love it. And when the people had gathered, let's see if I got, is that Luke? Luke 11, 29. Yes, I guess this would be it. Yep. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation that seeketh a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto Nineveh, so also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise in the judgment,
with this generation and shall condemn it. When she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, her greater than Solomon is here. The man of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, are greater than Jonas is here. What am I saying now? Closing, I'll just have to let the rest of it go. But in closing, I want to say this because it's kept me so long. What's he saying here? There will come a day that a wicked in a generation, adulterous, now remember, will seek a sign. And this is a wicked and an adulterous generation. And he said that generation will receive a sign. Watch, I bind to the rest of the Bible. The sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights. So must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and nights. What will it be? The sign of the resurrection. See? The sign of the resurrection will be done in a wicked and adulterous generation, and it was done in the book of the Acts. Jesus raised from the dead, come into Peter, James, and John, and the apostles, and they did this book of the Acts. It wasn't the Acts of the apostles. It was the Acts of the Holy Ghost working in the apostles. It's not a man today, it's the Holy Ghost working through a man, or man, see, that does the work. It's not the man's just a vessel, see, but the Holy Ghost is the oil that's in that vessel, see, and look what they did. Look at the signs that they've done of Jesus. They had to take notice to him because they were ignorant, unlearned, Peter and John, but they had to take notice to him. They had been with Jesus. They'd done the things that he did. So you see, every book in the Bible, the four books, the four gospels, God's the Pentecostal blessing, with every scripture to back up exactly what they said. And now the Acts of the Apostles vindicate today with the four gospels that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Do you love him?
Amen.
They were gathered in that upper room, all praying in his name, baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service to him. What he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Let me sing. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. That's what we need today. What he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. These people may not learn to be, not just like Peter, James, and John, or boast of worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost baptized in Jesus' name and are telling now both far and wide. His power is yet the same.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, come, my brethren, seek this blessing that will cleanse your hearts of sin, that will start the joy bells ringing, and will keep your soul on flame. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I am glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. One of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. It deceives a lot of them. People are, many people out here in the street that goes to church, belongs to churches. They're deceived. Like Eve was at the beginning. They don't know no difference. Oh, come take the tree of life. Now, instead of the cherubims, I want to say something. Instead of those cherubims, a guard in this throne, they're out here seeking, trying to run people, guard them to the throne, trying to bring them to the gate, back to the tree of life again, they might take this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Oh, I'm so glad.
How many sick is in the room? Let's see your hand. Raise up your hand. All right. How many's got? Is that, did I understand Billy? Where's he at? Did he give out prayer cards? Did
why, who's got... Now look this way, y'all. Now that's just like it is when he comes under glory here, see? He comes to the right where you're moving here, you see? Now look, it's just a reflection. Just a reflection, that is. See, it's not the light. Here's the light hanging right here. See? I did this one. I just happened to catch it and I thought it was over somebody. Now you're seeing one, I'm seeing two. One of them is the natural and the other is the supernatural. There's a man sitting on the outside here. On the left line, looking over towards that light. Stuck him. He's from Seymour, Indiana, and he's had a stroke. If you'll believe, sir, God will heal you of that stroke. Amen. Believe now. You believe with all eater of heavens and earth. Well, let me do something to prove to you that it is God. Then you'll believe with all your heart. Your condition is a nervous condition caused by a menopause. You believe that God will heal you? You're not from here either. What your trouble is, and doing so, and he would make you well. Not to make you well, because it's not you that's going to be made well. It's your son. He's in Virginia. You believe that I can tell you what's wrong with him? By the help of God, he's got ulcers. And there's another thing wrong with him. He's unsaved. And you're praying for him. Now, Mrs. Baker, you return back to Somerset and believe with all your heart Jesus Christ will make you well. Archery, make you well. Accept him as your healer. If you could the healer, Paul said one time, this audience of people who's listening and cleaning the way up here in the day, Lord. Now, Lord God, I pray that your mercies and goodness will rest upon them. Satan, I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of these people. They're stateless at the gospel. You can hold them no more. Let the power of the devil that's bound these people leave.